about. You gotta put it in perspective.
What better way to test my love than to lick it? Does it really taste as bad as they say? Let's find out.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
And I read that and I was all, huh? And then I was like,
ah. And then she goes, what?
And then I go, huh? He was like, what? And I'm all, no.
It's breakfast time. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. It's breakfast time.
I'm all horned up right now. You don't even know what's going on. I'm horned up, everybody.
And now.
The Bible's against it. God's against it. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
Our feature presentation.
No?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Come on.
Not so much.
It's not Saturday, is it?
No, no, sir.
Oh, then he should be here.
Probably.
Hmm. Allie, can I hear you talk some?
It's not going to work out well for anybody today. Or actually everybody, really.
What's happening?
I don't know. It keeps getting worse throughout the day. And then
is
I woke...
it worse?
Oh, you're an asshole.
is it just a voice thing or is it a sick thing?
No, I think it's just a voice thing. But I did wake up this morning with the biggest sit on my chin. So I'm like, what is happening? I mean, when it rains, it pours, right?
Your body is rejecting you.
Well, just like everyone else.
Just like everyone else, right, exactly.
Beautiful.
So you feel fine?
Yeah.
And it's just your voice.
Right.
I wonder what that means. I'm no doctor, but what is historically, if you've had this in the past, what has it turned out to be?
I think chlamydia.
That doesn't sound right.
Is that right? Okay, sorry.
Is this one of those hot tea and lemon type deals that would help?
I do find, get ready to ding, when I lubricate my throat throughout the day, it does get better throughout the day. In the morning, it's the worst. And then right before I go to bed, it's the worst.
Oh, okay. So so this is 5:30 a.m., Allie, but 7:30 a.m., Allie, will sound a lot better.
Wow.
Probably.
Ish.
So it's not like a sore throat either. So
no,
it's not
it
even like cough drops or cough syrup. None of that would help.
I'm coughing a ton, but my throat isn't sore at all. Kevin just walked in and gave me the weirdest look ever.
Who's that?
Like, I'm the weirdo.
Yeah.
Right?
You shouldn't be giving anyone else weird looks at this point, Kevin.
That's a good point.
What's your deal?
This Sepulveda was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And the traffic was all stopped. I actually left 5 minutes early today, which for me is like a half hour for other people.
At least, yeah.
Wow, 5 minutes. That is a commitment.
Right?
What's the fire situation on that you saw with your own eyes coming in?
It's the 405 North is stopped completely.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
And in the Sepulveda Pass on the east side of the hill, the whole hill is on fire, the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's scary looking. End of the world, like, scary looking.
How many fires are there right now?
I don't know.
I think at least four.
Because there's that Creek Fire, and there's that Rye Fire, and there's that Thomas Fire.
I went to bed last night. The statistic that killed me was 0%
containment. Yes. Zero containment, and it was jumping the freeway.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, when it jumped the 101 from Ventura into Santa Barbara last night, I was thinking, man, and there's no way to stop it. I mean, because it's on the wind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't control the wind.
Yeah, it was crazy.
0% all day, and just terrifying. I mean, the numbers are just astonishing. And there are people who have been covering these things, both, you know, people who work for the fire department and journalists both, who are saying they have never seen conditions better for fire than what we have right now.
Yeah.
So
that's not good.
Yeah. So fingers crossed and good luck to y'all.
Hey, thanks, Bean.
I mean, I feel kind of dumb because we can't really do anything except wish them well and thank them for everything that they're doing and, you know, just hope, you know. People heed the warning to evacuate because a lot of people don't want to, but they're not joking around when they tell you to evacuate. They mean it.
Yeah,
for your own safety.
Especially in these conditions, it can move so fast that you can look like you're completely safe.
Yeah, and turn on a dime, too.
Right.
What's up with your voice?
We covered that.
Okay.
Let me get started with this article from Britain's Metro. It doesn't sound like it can be real, but this is a fairly reputable newspaper. So you guys tell me the...
Apparently my cough button doesn't work.
It didn't work. No, it was a full-on cough.
Oh, no.
Try it again. Try it again. It works a little bit. It comes through my mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
The headline is, Woman with Sexual Attraction to Objects Proposes to Chandelier.
Love it.
The headline. And we've seen people like this before who fall in love with a, you know, a statue in the park or whatever.
Yeah.
This woman just got, congratulations are in order. She just got engaged to a chandelier in her home. Her name is Amanda Liberty. And by the way, she changed her last name to Liberty back in 2010 after a trip to the United States. She lives in Britain. After a trip to the U.S. where she fell in love with the Statue of Liberty, who she affectionately calls Libby. It's cute that they have their own nicknames for each other.
Libby's pretty hot.
They have a whirlwind romance. And she changed her last name to Liberty. So that is why Amanda's last name is Liberty. She's 33 years old.
Okay.
She lives in Leeds.
Is this her first marriage, Bean?
Well, she's not married yet. She's
engaged. Okay, I know. Okay.
She's engaged. She claims she fell in love at first sight with the chandelier after seeing it listed on eBay last year. So she bought it from a seller in Germany for £400. It arrived 6 days later. She now calls it Lumiere. And now she regularly showers Lumiere with cuddles and kisses, even proposing on Valentine's Day and presenting the chandelier with an engagement ring. Now, so there's a picture of the engagement ring hanging off of one of the little hooks off the bottom of the chandelier. So they are engaged.
Mm-hmm. That's great news for
Last Valentine's Day, I proposed to her to signify our long-lasting love. I hope at some point we will have a commitment ceremony. I have not been engaged before, so it's all very new and exciting. Mm. However, the article goes on.
The chandelier does not agree on the date for the wedding.
Rather scandalously, Amanda goes to bed with a completely different chandelier.
Oh.
What?
A smaller and thinner one called Jewel.
Well, sure, the younger one, I'm sure.
Isn't that just the way men are?
Disgusting.
Oh, wait, this is Amanda. This is a woman.
Whore.
So I guess the chandelier that she bought on eBay looks like it would be too big to sleep with, too big to put in the bed. So she has...
Okay. So I see how she's doing.
She has a smaller version.
So she goes younger and smaller for the bed.
She insists that she is in an open relationship with all 25 of her chandeliers and that they are all genuinely happy with the arrangement. None of my chandeliers are jealous of each other, she says. They understand that I love them all for their different personalities.
She must get so turned on at Lamps Plus.
It must be her happy place, right? For example, I love kissing and cuddling Lumiere, but I sleep with Jewel every night as she is very portable and nice to cuddle. Hmm. By the way,
Lamps Plus is like a brothel for her.
Right?
Right?
Should we be worried about Amanda? Has she gone bye-bye or is this harmless?
What do you mean, has she gone bye-bye?
She really been?
But I'm just saying, she's doing this in her own home. Is it?
It's not hurting anyone, but she's gone bye-bye.
Yeah, she's gone.
Amanda first realized she was sexually attracted to objects when she fell in love with a drum kit at the age of 14. And then, as I mentioned, she fell in love with the Statue of Liberty and changed her name back in 2010. I've always loved the look of chandeliers, and when I saw my first chandelier, Luna, it was love at first sight. You can't control who you fall in love with, and things just went from there. She claims her feelings are totally natural and that she can sense the energy coming from the chandeliers and from other inanimate objects. She said, I want others to see how happy the chandeliers make me and how much they've enriched my life. I'm not hurting anyone by entering into a relationship with them. I'm just following my heart. So,
good for her.
Don't be a love hater, you guys.
No, good for her.
Concerned about where Luna went, though.
Yeah, no mention of Luna, actually. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So, anyway, there are photos, and she appears very happy. So, I guess what I'm saying, Allie, is there may be love out there for you.
Oh, like a nice couch?
Well, it's just a question of
she's already in love with the couch.
Right?
Just adjusting your parameters is all that may be required.
Maybe stick with the couch.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
We're going to beat your ass. You just get that through your stinking traitorous heads.
I don't think so.
Excuse me. I apologize. We have a lot of Christian affiliates. I am a Christian. But I will stomp your head in if you start a fight with me, you thug scum.
Okay.
Wow.
We will keep track of the fires today as it is. It cannot be avoided. It's impossible. Got a brand new internet roundup for you. The top five callers of the year laughing by myself last night editing those because some of our listeners are so great.
Yeah.
I can't wait. You played
some of them called us, and we'll be hearing their calls later this morning.
You played a mall Santa or his helper. That must not be fun, I assume. Allie has a bizarre friend who has a bizarre side job. Would you call it a job?
I call her eccentric and fun.
Right. That's what I mean. Uh-huh. Eccentric and fun.
Sure.
And her side job is?
She likes to envision celebrities with braces. And if she can't, she'll just draw them. And mm-hmm. now she's being commissioned to draw celebrities with braces.
So she's an artist.
Gifts. She's an artist.
But is she an artist? Because I've seen
them. You've seen the work?
She does outstanding work.
Amazing work. She's the best.
I couldn't love her more.
Also, Rhys Darby, speaking of people we couldn't love more,
yeah,
in studio today. And we've got tickets for both nights at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, plus that 55-inch TCL television. We'll take a break. We'll come back. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Why are we even having Acoustic Christmas this weekend if Puddled Mud can't be there, by the way? What's the point of even doing the show?
Surprise band.
Oh, what? We weren't supposed to mention that.
Way to go.
Hey, if you want to win tickets, not only are we giving them away here on the radio during the Kevin and Bean Show a couple different times this morning, but we are handing them out like water on Friday. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Hollywood Park Casino starting at 5:30 a.m. In fact, right out of the gate, right when we start the show, we'll give some tickets to somebody who's there. And every hour, we've got tickets to both nights that you can win on location there at the Hollywood Park Casino. That's at 3883 West Century Boulevard, Inglewood. And we're going to be down there broadcasting live. It's our Acoustic Christmas kickoff party. So please join us, won't you?
It's going to be pretty cool.
I think it's going to be fun, too. All right, Allie, I'm going to tell you how you can buy a photograph of Tupac Shakur's penis in a minute. But first, late breaking news, and that is that Time Magazine a few minutes ago announced, finally, their long-awaited decision on the Person of the Year for 2017. Now, there was, in particular, there was a lot of interest this year because President Trump
I am really proud. I am really honored.
He tweeted that he had been asked to be the Person of the Year, and he declined because he didn't want to do an interview. Time Magazine said, no, that wasn't the case. However, Mr. Trump did come in at number two. They did release a list of the runners-up, and he was number two for Person of the Year, but he did not get it this year. Person of the Year is the Silence Breakers. These are the ladies of the Me Too movement, who have created such a social change in standing up for themselves and reporting people who have sexually harassed them or worse. And it has really, I mean, we have certainly seen it in entertainment. We've seen it in journalism. We've seen it in sports. We've seen it in a lot of places right now. It has definitely changed the culture of the country. I think it's an excellent choice. Allie, what do you think?
Agreed, 100%.
And Allie just said agreed 100%, everyone.
We can hear her, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
The cover features a few representative women from the movement, including actress Ashley Judd, who was, I think, she was the first domino in the Harvey Weinstein case.
Well, she's the first one people listen to. Rose McGowan was the first for years, and no one would listen.
Ali said correct. Rose McGowan was the first.
We heard
for
her.
Years.
We could actually hear her,
but
Kevin.
No one listened.
Ashley Judd is on the cover. Taylor Swift is also on the cover. She was one of the women who decided to, you know, fight back when somebody grabbed her ass at a photo shoot, as Senator Franken has done at so many photo shoots and lots of other people have done, and she actually took that guy to court and won. Uber engineer Susan Fowler is on, who has spoken out about various forms of sexual misconduct in that company. There are some other lesser-known people who also represent, for instance, Isabel Pascual, a woman from Mexico who works picking strawberries. They're like, look, just because they're not famous doesn't mean it's not happening. In fact, it's happening more to people who don't have a voice and don't have a platform. A corporate lobbyist from Sacramento, Adama Iwu, also on the cover. And then inside, there's lots of people like Rose McGowan and Terry Crews and lots of other people who have been in this movement. But I think that's a great choice. The Me Too movement, the Silence Breakers is what they're called, just announced this morning, Time Magazine's 2017 Person of the Year. All right, you ready to hear about Tupac's?
Yes, please.
His girlfriend took a photograph of him in 1990 at a house party in Marin County. Apparently, this was a thing that Tupac would do. He would frequently try to shock people when he was hanging out with his friends by just dropping his pants and just walking around at the party. It was a very different time back then.
No kidding. Mm-hmm.
This particular night, Tupac's girlfriend at the time said she was going to take a photo if he did not cover up. And he didn't, so she did. Now, why, if this happened in 1990, isn't this crazy that this ex-girlfriend hasn't done anything with this photo since?
Yeah, that is crazy.
In 2017, it comes out.
Maybe she just rediscovered that she had it.
Yeah, it was in like a memory box.
Allie maybe just said so. It was in a memory box.
We can hear her, Kevin. Okay. I can actually hear it. One report says she wants to sell it for $7,500, which seems low to me. However, there is
impressive.
Right?
There is an auction house that is accepting offers, and if she can't get the acting price, she plans to let it go to the next highest bidder. So I don't know. I would think that something like this would be worth more than that, knowing how much people love Tupac.
Let's see. Let me just go around the room for a second, if you don't mind. Allie, do you have any celebrities with penises hanging on your wall?
On my wall, no.
Chip, do you have that?
No.
No, I don't. Uh-huh. Bean?
I mean, technically, I have O.J. Simpson naked in a photograph on the wall of my house. Yeah, technically. Why do you bring that up?
Just saying who might be interested.
Yeah.
That's all.
Anyway, she has other party pics, too, that she is planning to sell of that she took during her relationship with Tupac. But the penis photo is the one, predictably, that is getting the attention. Just an odd, that's an odd item.
Yes, it is.
To be hearing about today.
Yes, it is.
We talked about this off the air yesterday, but I think you might find this interesting. You wouldn't imagine that there would be anything Beatles-related that we had not seen, read about, or heard. But this is new to me. In 1965, Paul McCartney went into a recording studio, and as a Christmas gift, he played DJ. He pretended to be a DJ, using an American accent, by the way, because they loved American radio back then, and played some of his favorite songs from Elvis Presley, from the Rolling Stones and others, and pressed it up as an acetate to give to the other members of the band. It was kind of an in-band joke. Hey, I made this radio show for you as a Christmas gift. Well, none of those recordings exist anymore. All those acetates are lost to history. However, just this week, somebody came up with a portion of that recording. Fantastic. About 18 minutes of that recording of Paul McCartney in 1965 playing a radio DJ. Now, I'm going to play a little bit of this for you, and you guys tell me. By the way, it is confirmed that he did this. Paul McCartney has been asked about it in interviews before. He says, yes, I did do that, but I don't have it anymore. Another voice on the tape has said, yeah, I remember that session. It was recorded. But you guys tell me if you think this is real. Is this the voice of Paul McCartney from all those years ago?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Unforgettable. A program in which we hope to bring to you old songs, new songs, blue songs, green songs.
What do you think?
It sounds like somebody doing a Bob Hope impersonation.
It does sound like someone doing a bad American accent. I would buy it.
Yeah.
And he's, I mean, he is goofing around.
Yeah.
That's what he was trying
I
to
would
do.
Buy
but
it.
Just, I'm having
songs you want, you name it. We've got it. Sounds from the past, sounds from the past. All over the place, in every country, every region.
So anyway, that's on YouTube if you want to hear some more of it.
Pretty poor production value.
Well, I think under the circumstances,
you're an effing Beatle.
Right?
50 years later, the fact that it exists is amazing.
Whatever.
And let me play one more piece of tape in this roundup of the showbiz news right now. And this is a new Omaze deal that you can go to, omaze.com/U2. It's Bono and The Edge who are auctioning off the opportunity to play mini golf with them. You can go miniature golfing with Bono and the Edge. They are raising money for Bono's AIDS charity, Red. And it's a very funny video. I'll play a piece of it here. You know, the band has been together for a long time, since all the way back to 1976. And I think the Edge may be starting to get on Bono's nerves.
Being in U2 is a lot like being in a marriage.
You have to try new things to keep the relationship fresh.
Which is why Edge and I have taken up miniature golf.
Mini golf, for short.
Sure. This December, we are teaming up with Omaze and Red to give you a chance to join us for our game of mini-golf.
Some people call it crazy golf.
Uh-huh. In addition,
goofy golf.
Edge and I can also provide you and your partner
Pee-wee
with
golf.
Relationship advice based on our experience trying to keep our own long-term arrangement together.
So many names for mini-golf.
So there you go. That's a little
bit
of
come up with putt-putt.
They get to putt-putt.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, yeah, they do. You can see that at omaze.com/U2 if you want to play mini-golf with the band. Today's celebrity birthday is the great Judd Apatow, a great filmmaker, a great writer, a great stand-up comedian. He is 50 today. Here's a name you haven't heard in a while. Debbie Rowe is 59. Do you guys remember who she is?
Michael Jackson's
ex-wife and baby mama, Debbie Rowe.
Not what I was going to say.
What were you going to say, Allie?
Allie said that's not what she was going to say.
Who's the woman that got Monica Lewinsky on the phone to admit she had the affair with Bill Clinton?
That was not Debbie Rowe.
No.
Someone else.
That was.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Macy Gray turns 48. Comedian Stephen Wright is 62. And Johnny Football himself, Johnny Manziel, who must be working as a bartender somewhere by now, right, I would assume, is 25. And that's the showbiz news. I really thought that, and I'm a moron, but I really thought that the dangerous fire season was past us. It seems awfully late in the year to be having this kind of fires, doesn't it?
It does, but everything seems to be coming together perfectly for the conditions to just destroy things.
Yeah, what is it? It's low humidity and windy. That's the 1-2 punch, right? Mm-hmm. Firefighters are now battling a 50-acre brush fire near the 405 freeway and Mulholland Drive in Brentwood, prompting a closure of the northbound 405, authorities have said. Kevin, that's the one that you saw coming in.
Yep.
The fire ignited shortly before 5 a.m. and was moving uphill, said the fire department.
Are you kidding? That's crazy. Because I came by like 5:15 and it looked like the whole area was on fire.
Fire was burning on the east side of the 405 freeway across from the Getty Center, where winds were up to 25 miles an hour. More than 125 firefighters on the scene. Water-dropping helicopters are being used. I wonder what – I mean, this is always the question is what's – when a fire breaks out in a brand-new region of Southern California, like what starts it? Like what started that fire, I wonder?
It's the embers that are in the wind.
Yeah.
That's
what
they were saying yesterday.
Yeah, but from where? From how far away did those embers come? I thought those embers are what spreads the fire once it's going in a particular area.
Well,
do they go
both
20 miles away and start a new fire? I don't know. But I do know that it is terrifying to see this video. And some of our listeners are sending in pictures and video. And, Kevin, you saw it this morning as well.
That's
it's crazy how fast this is going. I think Dave is getting us a reporter from KNX on the line who's been covering the fires the past few days and just kind of telling us where we're at on it. It's almost impossible to kind of keep up with it minute by minute.
We've been talking about this live broadcast that we're doing on Friday, and we're now partnering with the firefighters and a toy drive, mm-hmm. which by Friday, hopefully they'll have a lot of these fires under control and we'll be able to switch to helping people rather than just trying to rescue people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll tell you all about that. Bring a toy down on Friday morning and you can help out the firefighters. They actually have their own toy drive, which is very cool.
I saw something yesterday watching the news.
Allie saw something yesterday watching
the news. We can hear her, Kevin. She has a microphone.
Okay.
I don't remember what station it was, but I saw humanity from this reporter who... You're in such a tough position there because you need to get the story and you've got people saying, talk to homeowners that have lost everything.
Yep.
And you have a soul and you don't want to. And this reporter just said to this woman, I don't want to ask you this. I don't want to know how you're feeling because I know how you're feeling. And I'm so thankful that you're even stopping to talk to us. But time and time again, these people that lost everything were saying the same thing. We're safe. Our pets are safe. Everything else is replaceable. And it's just so soon after you see everything you've built gone in a second to see this grace from these people. It's heartbreaking to watch.
I was watching yesterday afternoon and I saw a guy walk up to a reporter and his son was with him. And the reporter didn't even know he was there and said, can I help you sort of? And the guy said, I'm here. I have an extra bedroom and I want to offer it up for somebody that needs housing. And the reporter said, I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to be here. And the man said, I know.
Oh.
And then the reporter asked a great follow-up question, which is, will you really take someone in? And the guy said, yes, I will. Yes.
Well, what a beautiful lesson for his son to
right?
be able to see.
That was amazing. And I just thought that response right there is what makes people good. That,
absolutely.
I mean, that shows that people are good, that he wants to go there, even though it's probably not very healthy with all the smoke in the air and everything else.
I saw on Twitter as well on Sunday when the fires were just really breaking out, people saying, listen, I've got a truck. If anyone needs me, here's my phone number. People posting their phone number on Twitter. Other people saying, if you have horses, let me know. I've got a trailer.
Wow.
I'm driving up now. So you see the best of humanity in these times, which is, it's obviously...
It's sad that it takes this.
It's sad that it takes that, but it's a nice thing to see.
We are trying to get patched through to a reporter on at the fire in Ventura. Christine is on hold right now with the news director at KNX, so hopefully we'll get some sort of an update here in a minute. By the way, I have a friend who lives in the Ojai area who had received the instructions to evacuate and had packed up ready to go, and then at the last minute the winds turned just like that, and they were told to stay put. And it was one of those areas where you're trying to drive out of like a canyon or something like that.
Yeah, it's one way out.
And it's one way out, and it just, I mean, that's terrifying, by the way, is you do listen to what they tell you to do, and you pack up and go, and then you're stuck in this miles-long, you know, traffic jam trying to get out. When you know, so many of the entrances to where they live were already closed down by fire, but the wind just turned, and that's what's so unpredictable about this too. Is, you know, you can't get ahead of it because you don't know where it's going.
Yeah, you always see the interviews with the firemen, and they're always saying pretty much the same thing: we're blocking it off here, we're blocking it off there, but this is 0%. They're just like trying their best to run after it, basically at this point.
Yeah.
All right, we have reporter John Baird from KNX on the line. Hi, John.
Oh, fantastic.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
Sure.
So you are with all the fires in Southern California right now. It's tough to keep track of how many there are, particularly with this one near the Getty Center that has just surprised us all in the last hour. But you've been on the Ventura duty the last couple of days, right?
That's right.
And what's going on up there?
Well, this morning we are up along Highway 33 because the fire is moving actually in a couple directions, but going up to Ojai from Ventura. It's a short drive. And we come around a bend, and hillside's on fire, so we watch that burn. And now we're on a side road called Nye Road. There's a bunch of homes here, and fire's on the hill right behind them. The people here were calling 911 all night, so they stationed fire trucks in this neighborhood. People were a little freaked out because it got very hot last night, and some of them said it was like an oven. They got out of here, came back. They're saying it looks a little better this morning, but there's still fire burning up there, and the firefighters have told these people, hey, look, you know, we can't guarantee you we're going to stick around because we may have to go to other hot spots. So they're hoping everything will work out.
John, how many structures have burned up in Ventura County so far?
My understanding is it's close to 200, most of them homes. I've seen some of them. I was at that apartment complex that was burning. I was at that psychiatric hospital that was burning. The apartment complex was a pretty amazing situation. Some of the people were upset because they didn't understand why no water was sprayed on the complex. Firefighters seemed to be protecting the structures below it, but that place was completely gutted, and a few homes around there were also gutted, and then other homes were untouched. But yes, there have been dozens of homes lost up here during this fire.
Is that an on-the-fly call from firefighters? I mean, do they have to look at a structure and say, can't do anything for that, but we can try to save this?
You know, we don't know what went into the call. I know that I talked to a retired firefighter yesterday, or the first night we were here, basically, and he said, you don't let an apartment complex burn. However, there may have been reasons that we don't know of that they decided to protect these structures, and because this thing was perched up on a hill too, it wasn't the easiest thing to get to.
Right.
So we don't know. They weren't blaming so much as they were questioning. They were wondering about it. It was kind of a tough situation. But firefighters have also been stretched really thin. And as an example, when they finally moved out of that neighborhood yesterday during the daytime, a fire sprung up on a property again, and people were using buckets of water to put it out because there were no firefighters around to help them. There's just too many fires going on. They can't get to every one of them.
This is the voice of reporter John Baird on the phone from our sister station, KNX AM 1070. John, we were surprised when we came in this morning. We were talking about how it's rare to see 24 hours later and 48 hours later a fire still at 0% containment. Is there any favorable news that might be happening today with the humidity or with anything that they might at least start to make some impact on this fire?
Well, I think they're expecting the winds to kick up again, and that's not a good thing. They need to think. The winds to die down so they get a start on this. They want to get aircraft in the air and start hitting it hard. You know, we'll just have to wait and see what the weather conditions like. It's just really interesting. It's so cold here in the morning. You don't expect it to be fire weather, but they're up on the hill right next to me. There's flames. So we'll see what happens during the day, but they're a long way from getting this thing contained.
All right, last question for me, sir, and that is, do they have any idea what originally started the fire in Ventura?
No, they haven't talked about the origin just yet. The thing that was interesting to me is it started as a 50-acre blaze, and now it's at 55,000 acres.
Wow.
I mean, this thing just took off. And, you know, the people we've interviewed who have lost homes or almost lost their homes were telling us, oh, my gosh, you know, I looked up and the thing was in our backyard. It was that quick. And so you know, I think that's the thing everyone is talking about is how fast this fire has moved.
Well, do everything you can to stay safe, and thank you for the great reporting that you guys are doing over there and all your colleagues in the media. I know it's very, very tough work and dangerous work, and obviously our best to the first responders as well. And we just got our fingers crossed for the best outcome of this. Thank you for joining us on KROQ this morning, John.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
About the end of every year, we start doing our countdowns. We start looking back on the previous 12 months, and I think we have the best callers of the year in our Kevin and Bean audience coming up in about 10 minutes or so here in KROQ.
Our listeners are funnier than we are by far.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, we've always known that. Yeah. I'm very excited to hear what we selected for the top five. First, though, Dave is here, King of Mexico. Hey, dude.
Good morning, guys.
Ready for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Hell yeah.
Internet Roundup. Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KROQ.com. Internet Roundup. Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KevinandBean.com.
If you want to see a video of an Australian TV host almost getting killed by an exploding Coke bottle, the Internet Roundup is a place for you. They're fooling around with liquid nitrogen, and this bottle takes off and is within inches of her face as it shoots past her at like 50 miles an hour.
Liquid nitrogen is awesome.
Well, no. It's not awesome if you take your head off with it, Kevin.
Right,
I'll tell you that.
It's awesome otherwise.
That is one of the videos you can see. There are a ton more, including Dave. I know you're excited because you love this Zach Morris's Flash series. They actually do the episode.
The most iconic Saved by the Bell episode ever.
Where Jesse gets hooked on caffeine pills. And man, Zach Morris is trash, right? You got to check that out. Here's a few we want to spotlight for you. Allie, you're going to be very excited to see Nick Offerman on the Internet Roundup this week. I know he's your dream man, right?
I love him.
He's so manly. And there he is with his perfect face and his perfect beard and all of his woodworking and his ukulele. And he sings a little song for us.
Get back to work, stop checking your feed. What's in there's what you want, but there's nothing you need. Real love with real people, that's the way to breed. Less clicking, more licking, and you will succeed. All the screens in the world just won't let me be. Life is way too Instagrammy and emaily. So I went to my shop, milled some fine mahogany, and I built this mother-loving ukulele.
Ukulele. Sing it if you know it. Ukulele. Who knows it? Ukulele. He is delightful, isn't he?
I don't know who's luckier, him or Megan Mullally.
They have a pretty good thing going on. Another one for you, Allie, is this reporter for BBC, Alison Hammond. She's your favorite, I know.
I love her.
She, by the way, got into journalism, if I remember correctly. She was like a Big Brother contestant or something like that, who managed to build a career out of that, off of that show. And she is so fun and so funny. And here she is. She's at an event where Meghan Markle is, who is soon to be marrying Prince Harry. And she is just... She's going crazy trying to get Meghan to come over to the microphone. And spoiler alert, she does.
All right, you're going to have a good, good drive.
That is not the right clip at all.
We can forward it to that right clip, though.
All right. I apologize. Here's Alison Hammond screaming at Meghan Markle.
Megs! 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 ITV, Megs! Megs, you look beautiful today!
So you're a big fan,
Megs,
of me.
Megs, you may have seen me with Harrison Ford. Megs, we need some love from you. Congratulations from this morning.
Thank you so much.
Yes!
That's it?
There you go.
Yes!
And she was getting... She was getting flack from viewers that were like, you weren't respectful to her. Are you kidding
that's not,
me?
That's not how Alison rolls.
She's so delightful.
She's Mugs, except for talented and funny.
Oh, that laugh, though, it just makes you happy.
So I love it.
Very Mugs-esque, exactly. All right, now let's go back to clip two. This is a great compilation. It's well worth watching the whole thing. It's 10 minutes of mostly white people on the news, newscasters and weather people, trying to rap. And I think you know we are unqualified to rap, but we sure give it a try. Check it out.
All right, you're going to have a good, good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking, looking at country club. Things will look pretty good like Robin Hood. Now I'm moving across the triad. Yo, it ain't too bad. No, 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 no. Now things look nice on 68. And I know you ain't going to be late.
Yeah, you better do what we tell you. There's a sky full of strats. Better grab an umbrella. I make it rain. I make it rain on them homes. I make it rain. I make it rain on them roads. I make it rain. I make the highs and the lows. I make it rain. I make the rain and the snow.
It's just a freestyle.
Okay.
I'm just going to think it up as
a freestyle. Well, let me sit back. Go ahead, Marshall.
Okay. Years ago, they tried to... Years ago, they tried to put me in the...
This guy's my favorite. He freezes.
This is live.
It is live.
You can't think of anything?
Oh, my God. Years ago. Did you want to try to read something from your book?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's better radio here. Not so much with the freestyle rap.
Oh, I give that second guy a pass, though, just for choosing the song, the song he parodied. Right?
We didn't hear?
Yeah. You don't know the song, I Make It Rain.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, I like that guy. I like that guy.
Because
he started with, The whole video is well worth checking out, as are all the videos, and you can right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup on kevinandbean.com.
We are keeping an eye on the fires, and we'll give you more information as it becomes available on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ.
Don't come to us for information on the fires.
I mean, we have some.
Okay. I just say it in general.
Don't come to us for anything serious, but we do have some actual serious people who are covering it, and we will get to them as well.
Also, comedian Rhys Darby on the program today, and we are going to be giving away yet more tickets for both nights of the sold-out KROQ Almost Tuesday Christmas, which are this weekend at the Forum, so that's all coming up this morning on KROQ.
Right now it's time for the top five callers of the year. We do these countdowns at the end of the year every year, and this is our top five favorite callers.
You call the Kevin and Bean Show, blew our minds. Good, bad, or crazy, you're the one that shine. Come on, baby, let's count it down. Because we have the best callers around. Top callers of the year. Top callers. Top callers of the year. Top callers.
Number five is a guy named Alex, and we were talking about you bought something online and something else showed up, and the way he argued his point was genius.
Let's go to Alex, line two, please. He's in Corona. Now, here's a guy, it sounds like this year got ripped off. Alex, what happened?
What up? So I was at this funeral, right? I had seen, like, these kids, like, playing with these fidget spinners. I want to see what, like, the whole deal is. So I ordered one online, and I got a cheese grater instead.
A cheese grater?
What?
Yeah. Joke's on you. I like grated cheese, though.
Oh, my God. I love Alex so much. Oh, my God.
Joke's on you. I like cheese, though. Like, was any of that story true?
Right.
I doubt it. This is from Keep It 100, and it involves a moment with Bean. I'm not even positive if we've meant... Oh, we didn't do that one yet. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm getting ahead of myself. Too excited. Number four is a guy who's calling about the all-woman screening of Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
And his arguing technique is beyond reproach.
It's like if the Alamo Drafthouse wanted to show Get Out for just black people.
It's not like that at all, though.
Come on, man.
I mean, so your response is, come on, man.
Dude.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Ben's defense. Come on, man, was his defense.
It's not my favorite defense.
Come on, man. All right, so that was number four. That was an odd. He gave up quickly and just said, come on.
He did.
All right, now it's Anna from Keep It 100. It involves a moment with Bean and then her questioning how many hoops she has to jump through just to make a request.
Anna's cool. Anna's going to pick up. I feel good about her.
Anna's cool.
How do you know anything about her? Because she's dodging her call.
Anna! Yeah.
Hey, Anna.
What happened? We called and you didn't answer. Why are you shining us like that?
I'm sorry. I just turned on the speaker. I couldn't hear what you guys said.
Ah. Well, we said welcome to the program and welcome to the weekend. How are you, my dear?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We want to hear your story, Anna. You are what's your deal? Where do you live? What do you do? What's your deal?
Why? Just to request the song, I got to tell you my whole life.
I mean, no, yeah. You can just give us a quick summary.
Anna just nailed you, Bean. Yeah.
Just to request a song, I have to tell you my whole life.
She's not wrong. We did make her jump through too many hoops.
Number two is you slept in late for work. And Eric is a listener who pays attention because he knows that when people's stories start to wander, Bean starts to play the phone sound effect, in essence, to play them off.
Right.
And he sort of felt it coming. Let's go to Eric in Montebello. Hi, Eric.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
So this was like This was a while back.
Okay.
And I pretty much blame you guys for this whole disaster.
This is our fault.
Because what happened was I was working for about 3 days straight. It was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then I had a schedule from – it was bouncing around from 1 to 5, 5 to 1, so I just kept hearing 1 to 5, 5 to 1. And then the last day, I had to be there at 5 in the morning. Well, what happened was I actually slept on the day before. I slept until, like, I don't know, maybe like 12 in the afternoon. So – or no, I went to sleep at 12 and then woke up like at 5 p.m.
Right. You didn't hear that one.
So now I'm on my way to work at 5. I knew it!
You could tell that his story was going so poorly, he was anticipating the phone sound effect.
Look, you can't come in here with that story and not expect to be played off, right?
And number one for me, and I'm already getting flack from everybody, so we might need to add some a little bit later on this morning, but number one for me was we were talking about proposals, and this guy called in, and he was my favorite caller of the year.
Brother JD, all right? You're on the air, sir.
Me and my lady... We rode the roller coaster right there, state line at Buffalo Bills when it first opened up, Desperado. So anyway, I figured I'd ask her to marry me on that coaster going up that hill. So I called him up and I told him, hey, how about on that steak and egg sign out front, you guys change it every once in a while. It must be pretty easy on the computer. So how about putting up there, Lexi, I love you. Will you marry me, right, as we're going up the coaster? So up that coaster I went. And I had that ring in my pocket, and I was just worried for that thing to fly out as we're cruising up the coaster.
Uh-huh. I got to tell you, there are some people whose stories go on, and we want to cut them off.
Right, not him.
There are other people that we want just to talk all day.
Yeah.
You take all the time you need.
He looks to the right.
Right.
There on the sign. Uh-huh. Lexi, I love you. And bam, she turned around and said, yep, that's us. I said, look, life's got a lot of twists and turns, ups and downs.
USA! USA!
Right? All right. That was a private proposal and perfect, right?
I love Brother JD.
Let me tell you what. That's legendary, my boy. Legendary.
As are you. Thank you for calling. Come on.
I forgot about Brother
that's
JD.
That's legendary, my boy. All
that's
right, we got
great.
Some others we will play for you a little bit later on this morning, but that is the top five callers of the year.
Top callers of the year. Top callers. Top callers of the
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Rhys Darby, who, by the way, is a national treasure. Not our nation, New Zealand. He's a national treasure in New Zealand.
He's a national treasure here, too, as well.
Hey, I love him so much. He's so funny. He'll be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning here on K-Rock. And stand by for your chance to win more tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Almost to Christmas 2017 happening this weekend as well. We're taking turns, taking a look at what's going on in Hollywood. I believe it's Miss Allie McKay's turn. You may not recognize her voice because it has changed since the last time you heard the show. But let's see how it goes.
And it's even changed since the beginning of the show.
All
I
right.
feel like it's getting better.
She says she feels like it's getting better.
I swear to God, Kevin.
I swear.
Holly, a lot of listeners are finding it very sexy.
I think the less they can hear me, the better for a lot of
just
listeners.
In general.
Yeah,
okay.
Just in general.
Interpret that as sexy.
Absolutely. It's sexy when we can't hear your words. Poor John Mayer. He's in the hospital right now. He's currently on tour with Dead & Company, which features former members of the Grateful Dead. And they said that John needed an emergency appendectomy.
Oh, no. Does that mean your appendix bursts?
It could get right to that point. Oof. Yeah. So his show in New Orleans had to be postponed, and they're not sure about the next couple, which are in Florida. But I had no idea that he has been playing guitar and singing, basically as the role of Jerry Garcia with Dead & Company since 2015.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
they
didn't know that either.
They did the farewell tour with Trey Anastasio, and then after that they hired John Mayer, who's a lifelong Dead fan and a brilliant musician, by the way.
He's great.
A perfect fit for that band. I have to tell you guys a funny story. I was in a UPS store over the weekend, and there was a young woman working behind the counter there who was wearing a Grateful Dead t-shirt, and you know I'm a huge Dead fan too. So we get to having a conversation. I'm talking to her about all the times that I've seen them and whatnot. And
let me tell you about the last time I saw them.
And she had never seen the Dead before. She's too young to have ever seen him with Jerry. But she has been counting down to last night's show at the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans for like 6 months.
Oh.
Her whole life has revolved around finally getting to see the Dead, a band she loves. She was finally going to see him last night. And then I saw the news yesterday morning that the show was canceled. I felt so bad for her.
Oh, that sucks.
But they'll probably reschedule it, I imagine.
So
I don't think you walk back in
and you're like, I got a package for you. Make you feel
better. Wasn't anything like that.
Okay.
I think you recover fairly quickly from getting your appendix out. So
really?
I imagine they'll be back on the road pretty soon,
right?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's a real bad one. But the question is, if it burst, now you're talking sick.
Now
it's bad news. So if they got it in time, he should be okay.
So suck it up. Make those shows up.
Right.
Okay. Got it. Have you guys heard about what's happening with that John Gotti biopic?
No. Oh, this is the Travolta movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It came out yesterday. A bunch of different news sites were saying the movie's bumped. Lionsgate is done with it just 10 days before the release. And I went to Kevin Connolly's Twitter page, and Kevin Connolly, who we all know from Entourage, he's the director of the movie. And so he was quote tweeting all these different articles. So page 6, John Travolta's Gotti movie gets bumped to 2018. And he quote tweets it with fake news. Next one, John Travolta's Gotti biopic dropped by studio 2 weeks before release. Wrong.
Where did all these reports come from then?
Well, here's what actually happened. It did kind of happen that way if you were to just see that they weren't going to release it anymore and it looks like it got dropped. But what happened was they want the film in wide release and Lionsgate was just going to release it in smaller release. So they wound up exercising a clause in the contract where they sold it back to the producers. So in 2018... they could actually release it to a bigger audience.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So everybody was saying, oh, no, what's going to come out about John Travolta? What's happening? Everybody starts assuming the worst.
It's a shame. That's the assumption that people jump to now.
Absolutely. But thank God Kevin Connolly's Twitter set me right.
Right?
I now know. Excellent stuff. Do you guys remember WooWare?
Wu-Tang Clan clothes?
Yes.
I mean, I've seen, like, t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah, created back in 1995, and it lasted until 2008. Well, they're going to relaunch WooWare. RZA and Power have teamed up with Live Nation for a relaunch. It's going to hit stores this week like Urban Outfitters. It's going to be a throwback vibe to the 90s and unisex. Fleece jackets, graphic long tees, short-sleeve t-shirts, and crew neck sweaters. WooWare's back, you guys.
I was so nervous that I didn't know what to get Allie for Christmas, but now problem solved.
Know. I just want to say my crew neck ain't nothing to F with, right?
Right.
That's a Wu-Tang song, kids.
Right.
Let's talk about some birthdays. Filmmaker Judd Apatow is 50 years old today, and Johnny Manziel, football player.
Former, yes.
I couldn't even get my voice up to make it a question. He's 25. I'm Allie McKay, and that is your showbiz news.
So today is Wednesday.
Right.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Good.
And then Friday, we are on the road and doing the show live, you guys. It's the Kevin and Bean Acoustic Christmas Weekend Party Kickoff Show.
Oh,
come on, man.
Come on.
Come on, man.
Put a little heart into it. Try it again.
May not be. I don't remember exactly what we're calling. What do we call the show?
It's K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas Kickoff Party.
There you go. Because the shows are this weekend sold out of the Forum, so we're going to be broadcasting live from the Hollywood Park Casino starting at 5:30 a.m. And every hour, all morning long, we're going to be giving you tickets to both nights of the show, which is a pretty sweet deal. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, that live broadcast. And just added, we are also going to take advantage of our lovely listeners being in one place to get some toy donations going on for the local fire departments. And, Kevin, you know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, the fire departments are, as you can tell, completely overwhelmed right now. Yeah. And they're just trying to get any percentage of this fire under control. But once they do, they have a toy drive. Mm-hmm. And it's a firefighter's toy drive. It's called Spark of Love. And we're asking everybody on Friday. They say the winds are supposed to stop Thursday. I hope so.
Yeah.
On Friday, we're asking people to bring down unwrapped toys for the firefighter's toy drive called Spark
That's
of
fantastic.
Love. Yes.
Spark of Love. I love it. So anyway, so come on down, help out a little kid who could use a toy for the holidays, and also maybe get yourself some tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, because it's going to be a lot of fun Friday morning here on K-Rock. All right, I have a question for you guys, and this is a sincere question. You know how you see people doing jobs and you go, thank God somebody is willing to do that job because I'm not. And I don't care what that job is. I mean, maybe it's a dentist. Maybe it's a guy who repairs sewer pipes. But God bless the people who are willing to do the awful jobs.
That's
right?
Why, even not the awful job, that's why I over tip waiters and waitresses.
Because it's a tough job.
Yes,
tough
because
work.
That's a tough job. They got to deal with people, and dealing with people sometimes sucks.
Yeah. And I even think about it, even for the people who don't have to deal with people, the people who are sitting in where you pay to leave a parking garage,
a toll booth or something
there. Underground for 8 hours taking money.
Yeah.
I think, what an awful job. Who does these jobs? Well, I have another job to add to the list, and I'm asking a sincere question here. Why would anyone want to be Santa Claus?
Oh. I mean, I assume most of those people need the money.
And that's probably true for most jobs.
Because don't you feel like most, especially if they're a repeat Santa, they're mm-hmm. there because they love the kids.
Yeah.
But the kids, some of the kids and a lot of the parents mm-hmm. can be nightmares.
I just can't imagine how – now, I have less tolerance for little kids than most people do.
By far, yes.
But I cannot imagine how awful it would be to play Santa. And by the way, for folks who are listening, for little ones who are listening, there is only one real Santa who lives at the North Pole. But because Santa is so busy, he has other people who play him and speak for him. So that's
unless
why
you go to the mall to see him, and then that's actually him.
And that's the real Santa
right.
in the mall, right? So I know it's very confusing.
Right.
But trust us, the one you see is real, but there are other ones around like ringing bells on street corners that are fake. But I mean, here's what it's like. Here's what it's like being Santa.
Dear Santa, I heard the mall is hiring extra security to protect you. That's a bitch move, Santa. I'm coming for that ass again until you pay what you owe. Sincerely yours, the Santa Stalker.
I mean, that's just one example of the kind of abuse you have to survive if
Terrifying.
You're playing Santa Claus. We thought it might be fun to hear from our Kevin-O-Mean listeners who have been involved in bringing kids little, you know, joy at Christmas time. People who played Santa. People who play Santa's helpers.
You have to get people in line, and everybody
get people
just sort
in line.
Of be patient,
yeah.
Wranglers.
Wait, wranglers.
The wranglers, right? The people who take the photos, the Santa photos. If that's you, if you're one of the little assistant elves, that's part of that operation. We want to hear from you. I don't know what we're going to get, but I'd be willing to bet there are lots of adorable and cute, heartwarming moments that happen as well. That's not what this show's about.
No, though. Please.
This show's about
we're
how
looking
awful.
You peed on your leg.
That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the kid straight out stabbed you. That's what we're looking for.
Wow.
So Santa's helpers, elves, wranglers, photographers, anybody involved in the Santa process, we want to hear from you what your experiences were like with the little monsters, or as Kevin said, the parents, too.
Maybe it's your job to deal with this person.
Now, you can't hear her, but she showed up at the Dufferin Mall in Toronto over the weekend and started screaming that was not the real Santa. You know, do you have a sleigh? No, you don't. You're not even real. On and on and on. By the way, there's another video going around yesterday of a guy at the freaking North Pole, Alaska, who is doing the exact same thing. He's going out of his way to stand there and scream in front of all the little kids that that's not the real Santa.
I hope they've got, like, Trent Dark set up to where they can just put that person down for, like, an hour. Give them a little nap for an hour and just drag them outside the mall.
That's where I draw the line at free speech, by the way, is when you start telling little kids about Santa. So how awful is the job being part of that? 1-800-520-1067. Let's grab Lane real quick, Murrieta. Get us started here on the Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Hey, Lane.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. You were Santa?
I play Santa each year.
Okay. Oh, how about that? So tell us the psychology of that.
Well, we have in the city of Murrieta, we do what's called Santa runs, where we basically go through the different neighborhoods and we collect canned goods to give to the needy. And with that is Santa and his elves, and we get to go and see the kids. And I will tell you that it is an incredible experience.
Okay.
To be able to see the kids and see their faces light up because they're getting to see Santa, and it's not perfect, but for all of the unenjoyable moments, there are many, many great moments that make it worth it. Aww.
I'm very happy
to
hear that.
Good to hear, because I assumed that it was a nightmare. I did. I just assumed it would be, you know, 70% bad, 30% good. You're saying it's the other way around.
I would say it's 80% good,
all right.
20% not okay.
And when you say not okay, is this kids that are just, what, they pull on your beard, or they're abusive, or they won't listen to what you have to say? What do they do?
Well, probably 10% of it is our parents who want to have their kids out there, who want nothing to do with it, and they're scared of Santa, they're scared of sitting in some guy's lap and getting a picture taken.
Oh, the kids and, are, you mean, yeah.
And the parents just really want to have a picture. And then there's 10% of that who are kids who really, I don't think they really believe in Santa anymore, but they are just there to make our life miserable.
Oh. Hey, what are the instructions? And I'm so glad you called, Lane, because I've always wanted to know this. What are the instructions about what you're allowed to say? If the kid asks for something, you have no idea what the circumstances are. Do you automatically say yes to everything, or do you say we'll try, or we'll see, or we'll check with your parents? What's your response to the kids?
I try to, you know, make sure that the kids, that the parents are right there and they're listening, and you can kind of see on the parents' face this look of horror if that's not something that's going to happen.
They're shaking their head no.
or kind of the smile and shaking their head yes. And you just try and go with it, and you've been a good boy or you've been a good girl, and we'll see what Santa could do. Or, you know, and there's a lot of times kids that parents are there looking for what their kids want because the kids have written a letter to Santa or they've done something, and the parents like, I have no idea what my kid wants.
Oh.
And you please find out for me. And so you'll get the kid who'll say, whisper it, and you know, they'll get down, and then you'll kind of, you know, have an opportunity to tell the parent, hey, this is what they said they want. So, you know, it serves a couple of different purposes.
That's very cool. All right, last question. Was it awful for you and all the Santas when Barack Obama made it illegal to say the words Merry Christmas in this country? Remember when he started sending people to jail if they said Merry Christmas?
Never said that. And he's,
that's what I heard.
Never said that.
I heard from a guy.
You know, the interesting thing is that I am the past mayor and former council member in the city of Murrieta, and I can tell you right now that I will always say Merry Christmas because that is my choice, and it is everybody's choice to say what they want to as long as they enjoy their time, their family, and have a wonderful holiday.
Good for you.
USA! USA!
Merry Christmas,
USA!
Santa. Thank you for calling.
USA!
We really appreciate it, okay?
USA!
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You were or are Santa or Santa's little helper or the elf or you're taking the pictures or you're the wrangler. We want to hear your experiences. When we return right after this on K-Rock.
Kind of shaky.
Let's talk to Jen, Huntington Beach. By the way, didn't even think about all the people playing Mrs. Claus. Mrs. Claus, same problem, same kids, right? Jen, welcome to the show. Merry Christmas.
Hi, Merry Christmas. Yes, I was Mrs. Claus, and my boyfriend was Santa Claus in the Newport Beach Boat Parade. So they said, you get a ride on this multi-million-dollar yacht. It'll be really fun, and we were volunteers. But then there was these parents with this whole soccer team of little kids on this multi-million-dollar yacht.
Yeah.
And the parents got super drunk, and the kids were tearing up the yacht. I had to break up a kid's fight. These little kids started punching each other in front of Santa and Mrs. Claus on the deck of the boat. And I had to go, hey. And the parents weren't even paying attention. I had to pull them apart and break up a fight.
Wow.
And Then, when we were changing later, we were taking our costumes off. They were ripping the hatches off the boat, literally tearing up the boat, trying to say, "You're not the real Santa," and none of the parents were even doing anything at all.
So a little hip check into the water, a little hip check for the kid, right?
Never doing that again. Never.
That is fantastic, Mrs. Claus. Thank you so much for sharing your story. 1-800-520-1067. You were part of the Santa industrial machine, and it went bad. We'll take your calls after the Killers on K-Rock.
More updates on the fires as they become available, probably in the next 15 minutes. We'll give you an update.
We have a reporter scheduled to speak with us in a few minutes, Kevin, Margaret Guerrero from KNX, who is at the overpass on Sunset over the 405. Kevin was driving in this morning and had a unique excuse for being late, which was that the Sepulveda Pass was on fire.
And that was shocking. I mean, I knew the fires were sort of in Sunland and they had moved in from Ventura a little bit, but I didn't realize they were this close.
Yeah, it's pretty serious right now. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes here on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're talking about your stories about being Santa, being Mrs. Claus, being Santa's little helper, being an elf. Is it a nightmare when you deal with all the kids? Listen to this one from the 404. I dressed up as an elf when I managed a honey-baked ham store, and we were having a Santa event, and the parents were so out of their mind that one threw a 9-pound ham at my face, and security had to step in.
Don't throw ham at Santa.
No.
He was an elf.
Don't throw ham at an elf.
Nobody woke up this morning thinking that was going to happen. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Our friend Jason is on the line, by the way, from Van Nuys. We actually talked to Jason on the show before. He wrote a book about being a Hollywood clown. And Jason, you've also participated in the pageantry of Christmas as well, it sounds like.
Yes, every year. Especially because I have blue eyes, so a lot of people request Santa with blue eyes.
Is that right? They make it that specific?
Oh, yes.
Those Aryan devils,
right?
So tell us about it. I mean, we spoke with somebody in the city of Murrieta who has done it for many years and says that it's about 80% good to about 20% dicey. What was your experience?
I would go 30%, about 70% good. 30% dicey.
Okay, so still in the positive. All right, good.
So what did they do? What did the kids do?
Tell us about the 30%.
Well, you know, you have the kids that will come up and, you know, and hit you with candy canes and tell you about how bad their parents are and then how they want to kick you. And
they would complain to you, Santa, about their parents?
Yes. I had one kid tell me that his parents didn't love him because they smoked, and he asked them not to smoke, and they don't love him because they smoke.
That's heartbreaking. That sucks. All right, tell us something funny. We don't want that. We're not looking for depressing, for God's sakes, dude.
Well, you know, I was doing a Santa one time for the Paramount party that they do every year for their employees, and they had me on a sleigh in the middle of the sun. And it was 80 degrees out that year.
In the middle of the sun.
Oh, it was just, we're out, like, there was no shade.
Oh, man.
And so the kids were also in this long line waiting to have their photo taken, and everybody's getting crabby, but they're like, oh, to get everybody's energy up, let's give them candy. So they were feeding these kids just pumping them full of candy and Icy's. And sure enough, you know, the kids, they got their nerves going, and if they don't want to stand on Santa's lap, they're crazy anyways. So then, you know, they come up and I'm like, you know, they're like, just sit on Santa's lap. And I will tell them, you know, oh, it's okay. Santa's, you know, nice. He just sit on his lap and tell him what you want. And this little boy gets on my lap and I said, oh, are you okay? He goes, my tummy doesn't feel.
Nope. No, sir. Santa got a gift. Nope.
Santa got barfed on.
That's awesome.
All in my beard.
All right. Heard enough.
Thank you, Jason. We appreciate the call.
I'm going to say heard enough of that story.
Getting vomited on by a little kid when you're Santa. Yeah. All right, real quick, let's talk to Tony Upland, line two.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning. You were Santa.
You were Santa.
Yes. So about 15 years ago, I was probably about 18, 19 years old. I worked at a portrait studio. And the big thing during Christmas is getting pictures taken with Santa. Mm-hmm. So obviously, just the day that we have it scheduled, our Santa ends up calling in sick, and I'm the only guy in the portrait studio. So naturally, I'm volunteered to be dressed up as Santa. So mm-hmm. I'm sitting there. I go through the entire day. I end up taking a break, sitting down, sweating my butt off in the Santa suit. And a lady about 80 years old walks by, gets in really, really close to me and whispers, "You're the first Santa in a long time I've wanted to sit on his lap." And I didn't even know what to say.
Right? How was she?
She was pretty old.
She was pretty old.
If I would have been 70, 80 years old, I maybe would have been interested.
All right, thank you, Cody.
Isn't Santa supposed to give them what they want?
Yeah. Let's actually talk to Phil in Long Beach so we can go out on a positive.
Okay,
because
good.
I think we're going to enjoy Phil's story. Thank you so much for calling and for holding on. You're our final Santa. Tell us about your experience.
I actually used to work for Target, and they had me dress up as Santa a couple times during the holiday season. Mm-hmm. But they would bring in groups of special needs children, and the feeling when you would see their face light up, it was just awesome.
That sounds great. So we've been asking all the other Santas, what percentage good, what percentage bad in this particular job?
It was probably 90-10. Occasionally you'd get ones, they'd come up to me, "Santa's not black."
How do they know?
Yeah, how do they know?
Right?
Exactly.
Well, I would tell them it was kind of like the movie The Santa Claus. I got the jacket, so I'm Santa Claus now.
There you go. 90-10. I think that's as good as we're going to do. That's a Christmas miracle. Thank you, Phil. Merry Christmas.
Oh, the good Allie is back. I'm so happy right now. Allie Siegel, writer and artist, is about to blow your mind, ladies and gentlemen. She joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, good Allie?
Oh, my God. I'm so great. And I love the name good Allie.
Whatever, Allie.
Allie's friends are crazy.
Listen.
And all of Allie's friends are named Allie.
Yes, I only have friends named Allie.
Am I the first guest of Allie's friends?
You're the first guest of this new thing. Allie's friends are nuts.
Am I going to be the only guest? Is this an intervention?
Oh, no. She has a lot of nutty friends, for sure.
Although you're the only one, maybe. But
we've had Beetle on before, and I feel like she could be in that category,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Michelle's definitely a wacko. Yeah.
Now, let me tell everybody what's going on, because good Allie is here. She's been on the program before because she is a very accomplished writer who's written for lots of sites and lots of magazines. And the last time we had you on, Allie was talking about what?
I was talking about furry dating and Juggalo dating sites.
Oh, that's right.
Juggalove.com.
Juggalove, right. But you are not here today because of one of your investigative writing pieces. You're here today because of your art. Now, where did this come from? Have you always been an artist, too?
I mean, in kindergarten, I did some drawings. Yeah. But now I've just decided. I woke up one day, quarter-life crisis, have decided to become a very famous artist.
Now, now, what was the first one you drew, and why?
I did some puff paint art on a T-shirt for, like, a craft night with my girlfriends, because when you're 30 and a woman, you just automatically have to become a crafter.
Okay. Sure.
It's a rule.
Yeah, you have to go to the Michaels store at least once a weekend.
Yeah,
I got it.
You dress like Miss Lippy from Billy Madison, and then you just have to start crafting. And I did a painting of Miranda from Sex and the City with braces.
Why?
I don't know. I can't explain
what's
the things
the braces
I do.
Thing? Like what?
There is.
How did that? And then the second one you did, it just started from there, and they all have braces.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I put that one on my Instagram because there's an episode of Sex and the City where she has braces,
yeah,
and a bowl cut. It's a very famous episode.
Sure.
And hugely famous.
You don't have to tell us.
Yeah, I mean, please. And I put it on my Instagram, and people are like, "I would buy that."
Yeah.
And like any person,
I wrote that.
Oh, yeah, it was
absolutely
probably, it was the bad alley. Right. Wrote that.
I like that the
right
good alley is calling the bad alley the bad alley.
Yes, that's tough.
Now, just for the record, for those of you that aren't near a computer, you don't have Instagram or whatever, it's not advanced art.
First of all, how dare you?
What? How would you describe your
Second
art?
Of all, from these insults, I will only rise from the ashes. They propel me further.
How would you describe
I think
your
it's,
artwork?
It's like South Parkian.
Okay,
which is
nice.
A genre of art.
It's,
okay. It's not really, but I
right?
like it.
I mean, it's folk art is really what it looks like to
yeah,
me.
It's like rudimentary trash pop art.
Yeah,
I would call it, which
but
I think is a style now.
Everybody has braces.
Yeah, everybody has braces.
What's that all about?
Obsessed with braces.
I think it's just like I needed to corner a market that hasn't been cornered before.
All
right, you hear yourself, right?
So Miranda was, saw that Miranda was wide first.
Open. Yeah, there was a void in the art world, and I just needed to corner it.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Who did you do after Miranda?
Okay, this is what's so, that's, I think after, Miranda, someone commissioned,
commissioned, meaning they contacted you and said, we will pay you to do.
Yeah. I'm getting 30 bucks a pop.
Nice.
I mean, whoa. Look at that.
This is what's so weird. Someone asked to do, Keanu Reeves as John Wick saving Bill Murray from an explosion, all inside a dream that Beyonce was having.
Wow.
And you did that so for only layers. $30? What a ripoff.
Should I raise my prices?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think the more people, the more you
now,
should.
Did all three have braces?
Yes, of course. That's a stupid crazy question.
What
are you doing, Kevin?
Are so we on the same page or no? This is I'm braces market.
So you did Kurt and Courtney.
Yes, I did Kurt and Courtney's my most popular.
Mm. Oh, really? Because I think your Death Row Records one is pretty awesome, too.
Yeah, that is really good.
But and that's Dre and Tupac and Snoop. And who else is in there?
Yeah, and Suge Knight. But Dre looks crazy.
Yes, he does.
They your all look Steve crazy. Buscemi is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Steve Buscemi's good. The Betty White is good.
Yeah, the Adam Sandler's good.
Well...
Allie, let me ask you this.
She was about to say
she
something.
Was. Oh, okay, go
the
ahead.
Adam Sandler was commissioned... For the Adam Sandler.
You're lying.
Whoa, that's not true.
Really?
What's with the surprise? What's with the shock and awe?
What are you talking about? We've seen the drawings. come on.
Do you draw any celebrities who actually have braces, or is the fantasy the draw for you?
Well, great question. The first one started off, Allie's like, not a great question.
No, like I'm saying, would you do Gwen Stefani, for instance, who famously as an adult had braces? Mm-hmm. Is that attractive to you or no, because now you've already seen that, you don't have to create it?
Well, that's where it actually started, because it started off with the Miranda with braces, and then I went to Gwen Stefani with braces. Then there was a short time where Beyonce actually had braces, so I drew her as well.
Okay.
There was a few other people who had braces that there was Ryan Seacrest as a child. Child had braces.
Okay. Oh, that and famous Chubby, photo of his junior high school photo.
Yes, Chubby Ryan Seacrest with braces as a kid. I drew him. But then slowly but surely, people started commissioning people who didn't have braces. And I was like, listen, artistic license. I don't want to confine myself. I'll just do whoever with braces.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
And how much money do you make?
I mean...
Probably millions?
Yes. I mean, I don't want it. Millions. Yes.
Now, I don't want you to be too specific.
Yeah. Allie... Hanukkah's coming up.
Yes.
Christmas is coming up.
Yes.
Can we get in touch with you now and get those in time for gifts?
Great question, Allie.
Thank you, Allie.
You absolutely can. You can reach me.
What's happening?
There's no way these are only 30 bucks, by the way.
I'm making a business out of nothing.
You That's really are.
I'm suggesting you go to 50.
You think?
I think so.
That's what they're worth?
I mean, honestly.
Okay. We're talking to artist Allie Siegel here on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. The Instagram is Celebs with Braces Art. Celebs with Braces Art. And we have to ask you about the Kevin and Bean drawing that you did, which is spectacular, which we posted all over our social media today.
Yeah.
How tough were we to draw?
You're pretty easy, but you ended up looking like David Bowie a little bit.
That's great for him.
Yeah, for him.
And I was getting roasted in the comment section about you, Kevin.
Uh-oh.
I saw about the size of your head, but I think it's beautiful.
Yeah,
the size of my head, that's real. I mean, unfortunately, that's
accurate.
Real. Yeah.
And you intentionally swapped the names on the images, Allie? You did that on purpose?
My favorite part.
Artistic license, but also the picture I was looking at when I was drawing it, this was the order you were in. And then I didn't think Bean and Kevin sounded as good.
No,
so I just
put
Kevin and Bean.
Underneath a picture of Bean and Kevin.
Bean and Kevin, right.
And here's my favorite part. She recognized that it was wrong, but liked it that way.
Yep. Yes, I've also done pictures.
Artistic license.
Yes, I've also done pictures of Jeff Goldblum and spelled his name completely wrong,
good.
But just went forward with it.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts, and it's so good.
It's so good. Celebs with Braces, you guys, on Instagram at Celebs with Braces Art. What are we going to do with our original Kevin and Bean with Braces drawing here, guys? I feel like we need to put it on a wall somewhere.
Oh, it needs to be framed.
I mean, make it a T-shirt. We need to do something, right?
We frame it. We put it on the wall for now.
Well, under protective glass, of course. I feel like if you're going to put it on a T-shirt.
I think T-shirts are a good bet.
I think you need Allie to... maybe sign something saying she's not going to then sue you for using her image.
Yeah, I think we need some contracts. I won't sue.
Okay.
And
good.
Then T-shirts for everyone.
Oh, yeah. I'm okay. Positive that's what we're saying right now. We're not saying T-shirts for everyone.
Yeah, T-shirts. Whoever's listening right now, T-shirts for every listener in the world.
Nope.
That is not the case. Domestic, international.
That is not the case.
Everyone, T-shirts for everyone.
Allie's friends lie.
I can't believe you had time to come in for this interview today with
us. I know, I'm very busy,
you
so
you
you're
have
welcome.
To be. You yeah. must be. I would imagine you are, so we'll let you get right back to it. Thank you, Allie.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
5 minutes from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll tell you how you can win tickets to join us this weekend for both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, plus the brand-new 55-inch TCL TV. Los Angeles is burning, you guys. These last couple of days, we've been following with horror the fires all over the place, from Ventura to Santa Clarita. And this morning, Kevin, on the way in, you saw one that had just started there on the 405. The Sepulveda Pass was on fire.
Yeah,
there are mandatory evacuation orders right now, what's being called the Skirball Fire. We want to find out the very latest. Our sister station, KNX 1070, has been all over these fires the last few days. And reporter Margaret Carrera is on the line with us right now. Hey, Margaret, how are you?
Oh, doing okay, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're okay.
We feel for you and for everyone in that area. It's just awful, and it happened. Started up around what? Around 5 o'clock this morning, out of nowhere, a fire started. Right?
Yeah, it was just before 5 o'clock. And you know, the interesting thing is, you guys talk about the fact that we've been dealing with these fires, following them since yesterday. I was out at the Creek Fire all day yesterday, and I was getting ready, gearing up, ready to go out to the Creek Fire again when I got a call about this fire that broke out, and so it came out here. And let me tell you. When I first got out here, you know, when it's dark out, you can see the flames a lot more clear. You can't see them right now because the sun is up, but it was just a line of fire coming down a hill over on the east side of the 405 freeway, out in the area of Getty Center Drive and Mulholland Drive. Of course, everything kind of south of that area, down to Sunset and east of the 405 out to Roskamere, is now under a mandatory evacuation order. Wow. And it's been very hairy. Lots of smoke in the air. So everybody that's out here, myself included, I'm not wearing it at the time, but you know, we all have masks on because the air quality is just horrendous out here.
Now, I know you only have a couple of minutes, but tell us again who exactly needs to get out.
It's anybody who lives south of Mulholland Drive down to Sunset and east of the 405 to Roskamere. Those are the mandatory evacuations. But given the fact that we have winds earlier this morning, they were sustained at about 25 miles per hour. There are warning folks who live west of the 405, again, from Mulholland to the north, Sunset to the south, and east out to Mandeville Canyon, to be ready, to be packed up and prepared to go at any minute should this fire jump the freeway. And we're certainly all keeping our fingers crossed that doesn't happen.
Now, I know that all lanes of the 405 are closed between the 10 and the 101. Mm-hmm. Is that still going on?
To the best of my knowledge, it is. And Sunset Boulevard, you're not going to get across the 405 because they've pretty much set it up as a command post. So we've got police cars, wow, fire trucks, everybody lined up on the Sunset Boulevard overpass. That's where they're staging everything to disseminate information and put people in the places where they need to be.
What's the danger level for the Getty Center itself?
You know, it just depends on if this fire crosses over. It has not done that yet, so it's a hit and miss. We'll see.
It's all about the wind, and we were curious how far some of these embers could fly, because there wasn't a fire close to Sepulveda Pass, was there?
I'm not sure about that, but if you figure a 25-mile-an-hour sustained wind, it could blow an ember pretty far, miles at that. And that's the concern with all of the fires that we have burning right now.
It's so awful, and we know you have to go, Margaret, but, I mean, 0% containment on that Ventura fire, as many acres as have already burned. It's just the conditions have never been worse in terms of trying to contain one of these things, and it's just so terrifying, especially when you start getting into areas where you are, where it's so heavily populated.
That's absolutely true. And the fact that this area hasn't burned in a while, we haven't had much rain this year. So, you know, the idea of the drought being over, we're still in dry conditions and there's a lot of brush to burn out here and many homes as well. And some of them, we hear, have already been damaged.
Our sister station KNX is on AM 1070. They're doing great work out there in a very dangerous situation. We've been talking to reporter Margaret Carrero. Stay safe out there. Thank you for jumping on with us today, Margaret. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Okay. All right, we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll also keep an eye on this. You joining us this weekend, Saturday and Sunday night at the Forum. The shows are sold out, the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. You know, we throw that title out there a lot, and let's remember what's behind it. It's Muse and 30 Seconds to Mars and Queens of the Stone Age, Rise Against, Morrissey, The Killers, Weezer, Phoenix, Ex-Ambassadors, so much more. If you want to be there, plus win the brand new TV from TCL, we are looking for you to play a game. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067, and we'll give you those tickets next. TCL is the official TV partner of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's why you not only win tickets to both nights of the shows this weekend at the Forum, but you also win yourself a brand new 55-inch TCL TV, which is sweet. We're going to give away some tickets right now to you at 1-800-520-1067. If you can win this game called Merry Movies.
The Merry Movie. Can you guess the Merry Movie? Can you guess the Merry Movie? You'll win a TV and two nights of acoustic Christmas. And two nights of acoustic Christmas. And two nights of acoustic Christmas. Come on, play now.
Get your brand new TCL TV, and one of the first things you're going to do here at the holidays is watch some of your favorite Christmas movies. So we're going to be playing audio from said Christmas movies. All you have to do is identify the song, the clip that you hear by title. If you're right, go into the drawing, and somebody is going to win the tickets and the TV. Who's our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant is Pamela in Sherman Oaks. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, how are you doing? Good morning.
Good, thank you. You watch a lot of Christmas movies on TV?
I sure do.
All right, see if you can identify this one for us.
You look like you came from the North Pole.
It's exactly where I came from. Santa must have called you.
Well, are you going to sing a song or something, or can I just go back to work?
A song? I'm here with my dad, and we never met, and I was adopted, but you didn't know I was born.
What do you think, Pamela?
Oh.
It's
Elf.
It's so Elf. It's so Elf.
By the way,
correct.
Hold on.
Not only the best Christmas music, one of the greatest comedies of all time. I'm just going to say it.
Love it. All right, you go into the drawing. Let's go to Glenda in Los Angeles. Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Are you ready
for it?
Good, thank you.
We're
going to
find out if Glenda's going to be there.
This is awesome. You ready? Here you go. Here's your movie.
250 strands of light, 100 individual bulbs per strand for a grand total of 25,000 imported Italian twinkle lights. I dedicate this house to the Griswold family Christmas.
Aww. What do you think there, Glenda?
The Grinch Stole Christmas?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
So that's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Great Chevy Chase in that clip, but thank you for playing anyway. Who's next?
The greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Yeah. Greater than Elf?
100%.
No. 100%. I will fight 100%. You. I will fight you.
That's not really the spirit, you guys.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, let's go to John in Manhattan Beach. Hi, John.
Hi.
Are you ready for your Christmas movie?
Absolutely.
There you go. Good luck.
You will be haunted by three spirits.
Three spirits?
Is that the Johnson Hope you mentioned?
It is.
Well, in that case, I think I'd rather not.
Expect the first tonight when the bell tolls one.
All right, what movie is that?
Christmas Carol?
It is A Christmas Carol, yes.
Congratulations, right. Great Charles Dickens story. Hang on, you are in the drawing. Who's up next?
Curtis in Northridge. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, hello, everybody. I was going to say something funny, and then I forgot.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. We're playing Merry Movies right now. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's your movie.
I wash my hair with adult formula shampoo and use cream rinse for that just wash shine. I can't seem to find my toothbrush, so I'll pick one up when I go out today. Other than that, I'm in good shape.
That's a good sound.
That's a delightful sound. What do you think there?
That was wonderful in my ear at full volume.
I'm sure it was. What's the name of the movie?
I believe. Isn't that A Charlie Brown Christmas?
No.
Oh!
No. Well, that was
Home Alone. That's Macaulay Culkin doing that big famous scream from Home Alone. But thank you for listening.
Of course, I'm an idiot.
It's okay.
No, don't beat yourself up. You tried. Thank you anyway, Curtis.
Kind of is, though.
Yeah. George in Linwood. Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Here you go. Good luck.
Ralphie,
What would you like for Christmas?
Horrified, I heard myself blurted out.
I want an official Red Ryder carbon action 200 Owens ball air rifle.
No. Shoot your eye out.
Oh, no. It was the classic mother BB gun block. You'll shoot your eye out.
All right. That's somebody's all-time favorite Christmas movie, I guarantee right now. George, what is it?
Oh, man.
You'll shoot your eye out.
I think he heard it.
Red Ryder BB gun.
The Ryder BB gun.
Daddy's going to kill Ralphie.
Come on. George, get your life together.
All right, we need to guess, George.
I'm trying. That wouldn't be Frosty the Snowman.
Nope.
It's like a Christmas story.
Christmas story.
Sorry. Thank you for the call.
All right, we got time for a couple more real fast.
All right, let's go to the Hay in Burbank. Hi.
What up, Kevin and Dean?
Well, we're playing for both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend and the brand-new TCL TV, a 55-incher. All you have to do is identify this Christmas movie and you go in the drawing.
Is that your underwear?
Part of it.
What do you want?
I want a gorilla named Davey for beating up the skateboard kids who pull on my underwear.
Jesus, kid. When I was your age, I didn't need no gorilla. And I wasn't as big as one of your legs. Four kids beat me up one time and I went crying home to my daddy. And you know what he did?
He made it all better?
No, he kicked my ass.
another of the greatest Christmas movies of all time. What do you think, Vahe?
God, I got all of them except for this one. Can I get the last guy's clip?
Sorry.
I have no idea.
That one's Bad Santa.
Ah.
Bad Santa. Thank
bad
you.
Bad Santa!
It doesn't help to yell it after
but
he's
Bad
missed
Santa!
It. Right, I know.
It's Billy Bob Thornton, right?
Let's do one more.
Right there in the clip.
Right. Let's go to
Come
Andre.
Come on, Vahe.
Andre and Diamond Bar. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. Here's your movie. Name it.
I told you, George, I'm your guardian angel.
Oh, God. Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium!
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
All right.
It's going to be a wonderful life.
It is going to be a wonderful life. You are correct.
Congratulations. All right. Well done. So Andre and John and Pamela all identified their merry movies. Unfortunately, only one is going to win the big, big prize. Miss Alan McKay, who's that going to be today, please?
The winner is Pamela.
I'm sorry?
Yeah! Pamela!
I can't hear you.
Pamela!
I can't. I'm sorry.
Pamela,
I can't.
Pamela, you hear me, right? Pamela hears me.
Pamela, congrats.
Oh, my God. You guys are awesome.
Congrats.
Oh, my God.
We'll see you this weekend. Thank you for playing.
Thanks for playing Merry Movies. You won a TV and two nights of acoustic Christmas. And two nights of acoustic Christmas. And two nights of acoustic Christmas.
All right, Reese Darby is on his way. Obviously, traffic is a mess in a lot of areas in Southern California today with cars going everywhere because of the 405 being closed in places and whatnot. But he'll be here when he gets here. In the meantime, how about a little What's Up with Florida?
You got yet, people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out.
When our listeners see wacky stories about Florida, I appreciate that they think of me and they send them along. And I've probably received this one about 100 times. Did you hear about the possum that broke into a liquor store in Florida?
I did hear about that, yeah.
Lady shows up to open up the store on the morning of November the 24th, and there is a possum laying on the floor in the store next to a broken and empty bottle of bourbon.
Oh, no.
The possum was taken immediately to the vet and has been rehabilitated and is completely fine, by the way. She was disoriented. She was excessively salivating. She was pale. They pumped her full of fluids, and they cared for her as she sobered up. So essentially, they sent the possum to the drunk tank. Which is funny. The owner of the store, Cash Moore, great name by the way, said that he had never had a possum break in before. She came in from the outside. She was up in the rafters. And then at some point she fell or jumped through the roof and knocked a bottle of liquor off the shelf. Then she got down on the floor and drank an entire bottle of bourbon.
Wow.
Even in Florida, the possums are crazy, right? I mean, I love everything about that story. It's so good. Here is Alvin Pierre Louis. He is 28 years old. One afternoon last week, he was pulled over by a police officer after he failed to come to a complete stop at a stop sign. The driver made a, quote, furtive movement to his pants with his hands as if he were hiding an item in his front pocket, according to the police report. The police also said the vehicle smelled like marijuana. Police noticed this large bulge protruding from his front pocket. They asked him, "What's in your pockets?" Now, what do you do in this situation? We always talk about how you freeze up when you actually have the, you know, you have the cop standing there asking you questions. Like, you don't want to say the right thing, but you also don't want to incriminate yourself. His response was, "I don't know what it is. I just borrowed these pants this morning."
Oh, no. Hey, that's not bad.
Investigators found...
That's not bad, thinking on your feet.
They found Percocet in his pants. Mm. They found pot in his pants. The police officer said, "Are we going to find anything else in your car?" And he said, "No, sir, you are not." And then they found weapons and drugs.
Oh,
they,
wow.
Found a they found a BB gun. They found marijuana. He had over $1,500 cash in his wallet as well.
Holy
He's
crap.
Been charged for all sorts of things. I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, it's a little bit of a Hail Mary to say, "What, these pants? These aren't my pants."
I would have gone with,
"I sort of have a boner."
Yes, maybe so. Here's a Florida fisherman who got quite the catch last week. It happened to be an intoxicated 22-year-old woman. Authorities were called to the St. Johns County Pier after a fisherman said that a woman, while he was fishing, swam up to bite his fishing line and then swam away with his lure. She was Alexandria Turner. She was 22 years old. She was naked and she was drunk. So she swims up like a fish, takes what's off of his fishing line, and then curses at him before she turns and swims away.
She needed food, that's all.
Right?
She was
She's
asked drunk, to need food.
She was asked to come to the pier office by the police. She reportedly became belligerent. She refused to walk inside. She refused to let deputies put handcuffs on her, screaming, "I'm effing naked." She was arrested for disorderly intoxication and resisting arrest. You don't expect to find a lady in the lake when you're trying to swim. But, I mean, at least she wasn't a mermaid. Here's a bizarre story. A man named Daniel Proctor is up to no good. A lady shows up at McDonald's one day in Newcastle, Florida, and sees a guy. Here's her report. "I was about 100 yards away from the man, and I had a clear, unobstructed view. The street was very quiet at the time of the day, and he was waving his penis at me." She calls the police. They show up. He's hiding in the restroom at the McDonald's. She had said, "I looked across, noticed his penis was sticking out of the top of his trousers. He was waving it about 5 to 10 seconds before he ran away." Guess what? It turned out it wasn't his penis at all. He was using a sausage roll and waving it through his pants to make it look like he was flashing.
To make her laugh?
I don't know why. I don't know why. Would you take the chance that you were going to be arrested for indecent exposure without the thrill of the indecent exposure? He made the
thrill in the indecent exposure being?
I assume so. Don't you think that's why people do it, is they get some sort of charge out of it?
I think they get a charge out of the reaction, which he was going to get either reaction. Way.
I guess, but I mean, have some pride in your junk, right?
Maybe
seriously.
That's the thing. Maybe the sausage roll was that much more visible. If you know
what
I'm
saying. I see what you're saying.
Good point.
He was arrested. He was arrested anyway, by the way. He tried to talk his way out of it, saying, "Look, it wasn't indecent exposure at all," but they arrested him anyway and charged him on some other charge. But apparently it's still not cool to do, I guess. So that's it's a good lesson for us to take away from this report, is don't pretend to wave your penis around on the street,
okay.
Please. And finally, and this is maybe the most Florida story of all, because this is a guy who has just given up. His name is Robert Lansbury, 62 years old. He was arrested this week after yelling at people on 4th Street in St. Petersburg. Police officers arrived. He was screaming at the officers and about at anyone who would listen that Florida was a terrible state. He went on a rant and a rave about how every other state in the union is better. He was born in Hawaii, by the way. And he just has had enough of living in Florida. I don't know why he ended up in Florida, but this was the day after Thanksgiving. Police were called because of this raving lunatic out on the street talking about how all the other states were better than Florida. And he was arrested. By the way, when police showed up, he said if they arrested him, he was going to kill him, which is not a cool thing to say to the police. He continued for about 5 minutes before he calmed down enough for police to arrest him, and he has been facing a charge of disorderly conduct. Look, when he gets through this process with the court, he ought to do himself a favor. Mr. Lansbury, if you're hearing this, just move out of Florida. Go to one of these other states that's better. Don't make things worse for yourself, right?
Right.
Right. This has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
He's here, you guys. National treasure. again, not our nation, New Zealand, though. National
our nation
there.
As well.
You can say international.
He's fine here. We'll take him or leave him here, but he's okay. We like him. Writer, actor, comedian, our friend, Reese Darby, back on the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. We're happy to see you. How you been?
Good. Busy.
Yes. You know. Always busy. The last time you were in, you were getting ready, because I remember we were desperate to try to get you on the little comedy charity show that we do every year, the Kevin and Media Fool Show. And you were like, oh, I can't do it. I'm going to be in Fiji.
Oh, yeah.
You're heading for right. Fiji. Was that to make this Jumanji movie? Is that why you were in Fiji?
No, that was for Wrecked, which is the TBS comedy series that
I
do.
Oh, right, yes. You have so many things going on, Reese.
Yeah, a lot of it's tropical island based.
which is good thinking on your behalf. Where'd they make Jumanji?
That was Hawaii.
Oh, you poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
pretty sweet.
It Oahu. Does suck to be you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not easy.
I feel like in this film, you are a big deal. Like, you are moving kind of up in the ranks in terms of your listing in the list of actors that are in a movie.
You think so?
I do.
Why did your voice go so high?
I don't know. It's just, okay. Yep, I mean
you're not starring yet, but what I'm saying is you're on the way.
I'm getting up there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What am I, level 3 now? How many levels are there?
I think 12.
12?
Yeah.
So 12 three's about right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's a long walk, isn't it?
Sure. Sure. I mean, Dwayne Johnson is at the top.
How did he get there so quickly?
I mean, he's in every movie.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
That's too much, isn't it?
It is a bit too much, sure. But he's good and everything. So.
Yeah, he's good.
We love Dwayne, and everybody loves Dwayne because he's a good dude.
He's so loved.
Tell us what it's like being in a movie with The Rock.
Well, I mean, you know, it's pretty awesome because he's such a presence, and he's very positive, and he knows who I am.
Does he?
Which was lovely.
Where did he know you from?
Well, I think Concords, you know. Mm-hmm.
Great.
The usual
series
story.
That we love.
Yeah. So, and he has fans all over the world. And when we were shooting the film, he had a fan in Australia that knew who I was, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. So that's my side of the world, you know, they all know who I am. Down there, I'm level 11.
You are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You're like, almost there.
I absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I've actually said no to 12 because I just, I've looked at it. I've seen what, you know, The Rock goes through.
Right. Uh-huh.
And it's not for me.
It's too much.
It's not. It's too mungy.
Okay.
Hey! Boom, boom! Oh, level 4! Level 4!
He made it. It.
Thank you. Oh, there's a bottle of champagne. They give you a bottle of champagne when you get to a new level.
It was just announced this morning, and I don't even know.
By the way, he was unpopping, how do you call it? Unscrewing the champagne?
Uncorking, yes.
Yes, by hand.
He does all the miming.
He does all the miming, yes, just so you know, on the radio.
It was announced this morning, and I don't know if you're even aware of this or not, Reese, but
yes.
Next week, your Jumanji movie opens up on the 15th. So next week on the 13th, your friend Dwayne Johnson will be receiving his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Ah, so that's awesome.
I don't know if you are
level
invited,
12.
But it would be nice for you to be a part of that ceremony.
Yes, I'll see him at the premiere, mm-hmm. and I'll say, hey, any chance of coming down and hanging for the big star placement?
Yeah.
See what he says. Because also, you know, he's been talking about running for president and all that kind of stuff.
He's got my vote.
And yeah, he's got everyone's vote, isn't he?
Unless you run.
Well, I was thinking of doing, I could be his running buddy. What are they called?
A vice president?
I think it's running. I like running buddy. I got to be honest.
I want to be his RB because I could be good with the genders right down. And I could sort of almost be bodyguard as well. Hey, please leave him.
Okay, I'm sorry. You could be a bodyguard for The Rock?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've got a few moves. Ex-Army. He knows that.
Yeah, you are
ex-Army. That's right, you are ex-Army. That's right.
That's huge.
Yeah, let's not forget that, guys. Let's bring that up.
I mean, were you... Well, how in the Army were you?
I was in the Canoe Corps. Did you say how old was I?
No, I just said how in the Army were you?
Oh, yeah. I was fully in. Okay. Uniform and all. Helmet.
Fighting?
What's that? Singing?
Did you see... Fighting? No, I'm saying, did you see any fighting?
Sydney.
No fighting.
Okay.
No, but I trained for 4 years.
Okay.
And I was very young, 17 to 21.
Okay.
And then I was like, well, that's my lot. I'm starting to get interested in girls now.
Mm-hmm.
So I left. I got a girlfriend. And then it was like, you know, because I'd go away on these military exercises for 2 weeks. And it's like, I'd miss her. And I was like, oh, I don't really want to be an army man now. And so it was a decision to sort of go, well, do I want to be a soldier for the rest of my life? Then the army actually said, we don't really want you.
Oh.
You're a bit of a laugh, but we're worried once stuff really starts happening, how good are you going to be?
You're a 3 in the army too?
Yeah. I was good at marching and the drill.
That's not really the best part of it, though, I don't think is what they're looking for.
No,
you kill me with your hands?
Back in the day. Yeah, but these hands now, they're more of an artist's.
I see.
I could draw you.
You look soft.
Yeah, so I left at that point and went.
left at that point when they said, we don't want you. And you said, okay, I'm going.
I said, all right, well, it's up to you. Final decision. Go. Okay, I'm gone. And then it's the university for me, and I started, what else am I going to do? So mm-hmm. I wanted to, I was good at English, so I thought, I'd be a writer, I'd be a journalist. And that was a 4-year course. So I didn't have time for that. So in the end.
Oh, so you just decided against it because of the time?
Well, you quit a lot of things, Reese.
Look, it's 4 years. I don't have that kind of time.
I mean, look, we're only here for, 80 years if we're lucky.
Right.
Sure.
I'm going to push mine out to 100, obviously.
Uh-huh,
but,
sure.
But depending on what sort of elixirs are around at that point. But I thought, comedy, I should try that.
When did you start with the sound effects? When did you realize that you had that talent?
It's a weird one. That was
That's a strange talent to
have. At school, yeah.
At school.
I could mimic machinery, anything, like, doors.
Now, how do you learn that?
Just
try it?
I just started to do it. This is going to sound strange to you guys, but I ended up, last year I visited a shaman, and he told me that I had lived many lives.
Okay.
And my last life, I was a bird.
Okay.
Yeah, a lyre bird, which is an Australian bird. And I'm like, get out of town. Okay. I was not an Australian bird.
Okay.
But the lyre bird mimics machinery. It's the greatest mimic. And that's what I used to be. And so these birds are known for, they can hear, deforestation machinery.
Is that right?
And they just start mimicking it.
Okay.
Mimicking it.
Why do you keep saying, looking at me with those eyes?
Straight out of your mind. But I can also mimic doors that haven't been invented yet.
Okay.
Space ones. Listen to this. Okay.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
So that's from the future.
Okay. Okay. There's no way to know.
So we don't know that yet.
Starship.
In about 15 years, we're going to go, that guy nailed it.
Yeah, we just have to trust him.
Okay.
What came first? Reese Darby or the space door?
Uh-huh.
They'll say. Right. Well, it's me, obviously, because I'm here.
Right. Okay.
Reese, may I ask a question? Let me backtrack on your story a moment. Why did you visit a shaman? What was the occasion that found you visiting a shaman?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. My mum passed away last year, and I was kind of like, I was in Hawaii at the time, and I was very disillusioned.
Sure.
Because I didn't feel like being funny anymore. And I was like, I felt like I did a lot of it for mum, and she wasn't around. And so, yeah, I just really needed to talk to someone. I was stuck in this very tourist environment in Oahu. I had a lot of Aussies and Kiwis come up to me, the old American. But as you know, I'm only level 3 here.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of felt like...
But you were bummed.
Yeah.
Seriously. You didn't feel like you could be funny.
Why a shaman, though? Instead of, say, a therapist.
I didn't want to go down the standard route.
Okay.
Because I'm not that kind of guy. And someone said to me, go and see someone who, is more mystical. Mm-hmm. And so I found someone in a...
And did it help?
Yes. I know that I've been birds my entire life, this is my first life as a human, guys.
Okay, hold on. Let me just back up then. Do you believe that you used to be a bird?
Yes.
You do believe that?
I think so, yeah. Because
for real?
Yes, because of my mimicking abilities.
Okay.
And I've got great peripheral vision.
Okay. Is that something they had?
Yeah. Okay. Different birds.
So was the police squad guy, was he also a bird? Or do you guys come from a different line of mimickers?
Winslow?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
That's the old Michael.
That's the one?
Yeah. I look, you'd have to ask him.
Okay.
I think possibly.
Because I feel like it's maybe just that you're a good mimic. You have a good ear, and you have the ability to know how to manipulate your mouth to make those sounds, and it may not have anything to do with past lives, baby.
Can you let him have it?
Okay. I gave the shaman $25.
Well, that shows you that it's
real. You're telling me that I didn't need to do that, and I've got a good ear. I don't have a good ear. If anything, I've got glue ear. All right, I can hardly hear you.
Okay. All right, don't get angry. He's just trying to make a funny.
Just asking. Just talking through it, Reese.
Right, we haven't talked Jumanji yet, so will you stick around for another break?
Yes.
Okay, Reese Darby is here. We love him. We'll be right back.
Writer, actor, comedian Reese Darby back in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Always fun to catch up with Reese. He is one of the stars of the new Jumanji. Welcome to the Jungle in theaters everywhere on Wednesday, December 20th. Hey, before we get to Jumanji talk, X-Files is coming back in January as well.
January 3rd.
Are you back in for the new season 2 like you were in the last release?
I haven't received a phone call.
Then I have bad news for you.
Is it too late? What's happening
Well, I mean,
there?
It starts January 3rd, but we assume a lot of it has been filmed.
I think it's mostly done
right
by now. So
I did unplug my landline.
You must have just missed the call from Chris Carter, I guess, yeah. We had Tim Minchin in on the show the other day, and you guys are Down Under buddies, I would imagine, right? You must
know
Tim.
Love Tim.
And we love him too. We love him so much and have for years. He was, Allie, am I overstating it to say that he has been kind of broken by Hollywood a little bit, and he's going back home.
Disillusioned, broken.
Very much
enough.
So.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you have experienced any of that yourself, climbing up that showbiz ladder we talked about, being so far away from home and everything.
Yeah.
How's the experience for you been trying to make it in America?
Well, I guess I've taken it somewhat slower. I mean, because I know that when he came over here, and it wasn't too long ago, and he had a huge project that he was working on, and I haven't so much had that weight and that optimism because, LA is a very optimistic place. There's, everyone's telling you this is going to happen, that's going to happen, let's have a meeting, and I've certainly gone through all of that.
Well, just for the record, he was working on the same project, an animated project, for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then they just sold the company and said, no thanks.
Wow.
And
I mean, I can't understand what happened there, but I can understand why he suddenly flipped and gone, this is too much for me.
Yeah.
And that has not happened to me. So I've had little bits of projects, little things, and I've had stuff in development for quite a while. But those things are still alive.
You haven't been broken yet.
I haven't had the big break. I haven't been broken. I haven't had the big break yet either. Yeah,
you
can
know
broken,
which way it's going to go.
Be broken one of two ways. You'll either break or it'll break you.
Right.
And I'm still in the middle there somewhere.
And the thing about Tim that surprised me a little bit is that he had tremendous success, though, obviously, on Broadway with his, what's it called? The Matilda, which is a smash, still playing all over the world, and then more success with Groundhog Day and everything. But it was just that one project that it was so special to him that just seemed like it was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
He also, in the back of his mind, said he had been considering moving his kids back when they were going to go to high school.
Yeah.
Because that's where he was raised, and he sort of wanted them to go to high school there. So.
I mean,
you go back and forth with your family, Reese. You don't spend all the time either here or there, right?
That's exactly it. Everyone is different. Everyone plays their life differently. And for me, I still have a house back in New Zealand. The family and I go back there 3 or 4 times a year. We're heading off again for Christmas very soon.
Nice.
And so we still are very much in that culture and in that life. That kind of rounds it out a little bit. I'm not too deep in the LA mist.
I think that's wise. All right, so Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. For folks who are too young to know, there was once upon a time in the mid-90s another film called Jumanji that was all about a bunch of kids who got sucked inside a video game and then they kind of had to play their way out. This is based on the same book that spawned that movie, right? But it has no relationship to the original movie.
It does. I think the Robin Williams character from the original, his character is mentioned in this new one.
Okay.
So it is the same world.
Same universe, gotcha.
Yeah, but the original, of course, was a board game, and it came into our world. And this time it's the humans from this world are sucked into the other world, which is a video game now. So the world of Jumanji, I like to think of, is sort of an alternate universe or another dimension, if you will. And this makes it exciting for me, because originally, yes, it was this magical board game situation, but now it's become so much more that it's actually another world which evolves as our world evolves. And you can either, those two worlds can meet, and this is what's happened again here. There's always a force that's trying to pull you into either one of those worlds. And this time, these middling kids get pulled into the Jumanji world, mm-hmm. which is now a video game.
Gotcha. So it's The Rock, and it's Jack Black, and it's Kevin Hart, and it's Karen Gillan, and Bobby Cannavale, and some guy named Reese Darby. I mean, it's a great cast.
Yeah, it's just really exciting for me, I guess, to be in a huge movie. I mean, I've done a few movies. I've done lots of Taika's movies. Not that they're not huge, and they certainly are from now on.
They're perfect.
They're perfect. That's the main thing.
Yes.
And small parts. And here I am again, relatively small part, but a very important part.
What is your part in this one?
So I'm in the Jumanji world, mm-hmm. And I play Nigel Billingsley, and I'm the field guide.
Okay, nice.
For Jumanji. So
you're there the whole time, and then the rest of the cast comes in to meet you?
I'm there. Yeah, I All live right. there. And I'm the welcome to Jumanji guy.
Okay.
Welcome to Jumanji. So, you can use that as a soundbite if you like. Might get a few more listeners.
Thank you, Reese.
Welcome to K-Rock. There you go. Listen to that. World famous. 106.7.
The movie opens in theaters on Wednesday, December 20th. Speaking of your friend Taika, who is the director of the latest Thor movie that everyone loves so much.
Yeah.
Would he have the kind of pull to somehow bring you into the Marvel universe in some way?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, when he started making Thor, Ragnarok, I thought, well, there's no way you'd have Reese Darby in them in a Marvel movie, because I just couldn't imagine myself. I'd seen a few of these Marvel things, and it's just, huge superheroes crunching buildings together. And I thought, well, there's no way, there'd be a position there for me. And so I didn't even sort of email him and say, hey, any chance of jumping in on that bandwagon?
Was it right after Hunt?
Yeah, Hunt for the Wilder People, yeah. And then he went straight into that. He got that while we were filming Wilder People, and I remember him on some phone calls, and he was like telling me I could be in the running here for a Marvel
That's
film.
Crazy. And by the way, that movie is so unbelievably funny. Yeah. I think it's more a comedy than a superhero movie.
It's a Taika film.
It's really good.
I really, really loved it. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, I could have been in that. I totally could have been in that. So I should have emailed him, I think even he felt bad. He said, look, I know you could have been in there. I'll put you on the next one. We'll just wait and see. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. Buddies.
That's important.
All right, Reese. So the movie opens up Wednesday, and then...
You don't have any birdseed, do you?
I mean, and then you and the family are heading back home to New Zealand, so we got no stand-up this time around, but I hope you'll be coming back next year and doing some more of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have a new stand-up show. It's called Mystic Time Bird.
Mystic Time Bird.
All right. I think we now know what the title means.
So you guys should come and check that out.
We will, and you come back and see us when you can. We love you, Reese. Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, earlier today.
Oh, my God.
Wow. You go.
Jesus. You brought in the top five callers of the year on the Kevin Bean Show, because we're at the time of the year now where we do start to count down. We're going to have we did the top 10 Omar intros already. We got the top 10, the top five callers today. We're going to be doing the moments with. We're going to be doing the sound bites of the year. Was there some controversy about the running order of the bit earlier this morning or what?
I mean, there was mayhem, if that's what you're saying. Yes. I had left out some that other people wanted to be put back in.
We all did.
Yeah.
So there's only a top five.
Every single one of us.
Okay. So basically, I have now come up with a new four new of them, and then one that we used earlier this morning.
Wait, what?
So now we have another top five. Only one is the same as before, and then there's four new ones.
Okay. So what's the real top five? I thought you were just going to add these onto the old ones.
Well, I mean, then it's not a top five.
Right.
Janky. It's a top nine.
Holy crap.
So this is a new...
So it's a top four, but with one that was from the other one.
You call the Kevin and Bean Show, blew our minds. Good, bad, or crazy, you're the one that shine. Come on, baby, let's count it down, because we have the best callers around.
Now, the one repeat is because it involves Bean and pretty much a moment with. And this was, we were doing Keep It 100. For some reason, Bean needed to hear the entire life story of Anna.
We want to hear your story, Anna. You are, what's your deal? What, where do you live? What do you do? What's your deal?
What, why? Just to request the song, I got to tell you my whole life.
I mean, no, yeah. You could just give us a quick summary.
Anna just nailed you, Bean. Yeah.
So that was pretty strong.
I am a team Anna, by the way, hearing that call back. She absolutely did the right thing.
All right, next is a new one. It's Jorge, and he was calling about getting pulled over by the police. Jorge, hi.
Hello, good morning. Hello, Ali.
Hello.
How are you? I was driving on the 101, smoking a ball. Somebody saw me. They reported me. So when the cop pulled me over, he was waiting for me. They asked me if I had any weapons in the car, and I said, yes, I have two guns. So next thing I know, chopper, cars, cops pointing their guns at me. After 20 minutes of searching the car, they didn't find anything, and they go, hey, where are the guns? And I just flexed my arms, and I go, these guns. So I got arrested for that.
You're stupid. That is just... No.
You did not do Suns Out, Guns Out with the police. Well, are you pranking us, or did you really do that to the police?
I don't care.
Check the report, man.
Check the report. It's like so it's available. Good. That guy's lying, right?
I don't care.
You're right. This one is, we were talking about bad surprises when you moved into a new home.
Bad surprises after you move in. Hi, Dee Dee.
So my husband and I, we scrimped and saved to buy our very first house. We're both working two jobs, and we move into the house, and probably, you know, only been there a day, and the neighbors next door had one of those macaw birds. Can I tell you the sound of the bird?
Sure. Could I hear that again?
It's very pleasant.
We stayed for 10 years.
Oh, my God. 10 years.
I hate that bird. The bird's name is Cookie. Cookie, if you're out there, I hope you're dead.
She's got maybe some anger issues.
I think that was very therapeutic of her to be able to come on the air and express that.
The next one of my favorite callers is Andrew, who Allie, and really I think all people, appropriately hated because he was saying... That he hate. We were talking movies that you hate that everybody else seems to love. And he said the original Star Wars.
Oh.
Yeah.
The movie that everyone else loved and you hated. Let's bring up Andrew in Inglewood, please, line 8. Andrew, what say you?
I'm going to say it out loud. Star Wars A New Hope. It is boring.
How dare you? Andrew.
Andrew,
I
what
love
is...
the franchise. The franchise is great, but that...
Then how can you not like the first movie?
Maybe I'm too young. I'm 30. I saw it as an adult. It just doesn't hold up. But the first viewing, seeing it as an adult, it is outdated. Ugh.
It's outdated.
Why do you feel?
You think?
I can't think of a single thing that you could do
Jar Jar
to improve.
Binks any day.
Oh, my God. Phone, Andrew.
I said it.
Fire must cleanse us.
I was yelling, get off my phone. And finally, for this particular roundup, Marisol was the one everybody wanted to hear.
Yes.
Because we were doing the topic of you're just too hot, and it really makes life difficult on you.
How are you, Marisol?
Hi, good morning.
Were you surprised to hear that this was going to be a topic on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning?
I was, because I experience this every day.
Same.
All right, tell us what's going on. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
23.
23. And what celebrity do you most resemble?
I don't know, Mexican.
Oh, a Mexican celebrity. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Come on.
Yay!
What celebrity do you resemble?
Mexican? She's lucky she's hot.
Top colors of the year. Top colors. Top colors of the year. Top colors.
We have been taking turns bringing you showbiz news, and it's my turn right now. But before I get into all the stories, Kevin, there's something that has been bubbling up on the social media that we need to address real quick, and that is the photo that you posted of you with the fire this morning on the way in at Sepulveda Pass. When you're coming into work this morning, you took that took the pictures of the fire,
what
the awful fire there in Malibu. Oh, you didn't do anything, or did you?
What?
A lot of people are saying... It looks like Kevin's in the carpool lane. I wonder if that's true.
Kevin, I emailed it to my parents just to say, look at what Kevin dealt with on his way in. Their response, not concern, nothing. Why is Kevin in the carpool lane? Does he have a dummy in his passenger seat?
as a W in the driver's seat.
That's
I know
what
that.
Kevin, what's happening?
Were you in it the carpool
looks,
lane?
It looks like that from the angle.
You are straight up driving in the carpool lane. Again.
And on his phone.
Look.
Again.
And on his phone while he's driving dirt through a fire.
Look.
Here's yes, Kevin. What's the thing?
Pretty much everyone was stopped.
Okay. So you pulled over so into the carpool lane?
Well, I need to get to work.
Oh, and the other people didn't need to get anywhere, right?
So I just pulled
where they were going wasn't important.
I mean, I did end up stopped in the carpool lane and waited. And I also figured that the cops would have their hands full.
With the fire.
Okay. But I was in the left lane, and it just looks from the angle.
Right.
It's all about the angle.
You were in the carpool lane. Just admit it.
Why do the rules
not apply to you?
It looks like that.
Why are you better than everyone else?
I'm not at all.
You can do what you're doing.
Chip supports you. That's what matters.
Thank you, Chip.
So we have posted those photos. You want to see what a guy driving by himself in the carpool
How
lane
dare
looks
you?
Like.
That's not the point.
That may be the point, though. I think it's worth bringing up. And a lot of people have asked us to bring it up. So there we have asked and answered.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. I never saw Hamilton. I want to. I would love to. I watched the PBS special on all about Hamilton, but I've never been cool enough to be able to get tickets in either New York or L.A., and I know that people who see it love it. So this may be the closest I ever get to it, but Lin-Manuel Miranda was on with Ellen this week, and he did a three-minute version of Hamilton, and it's pretty darned entertaining, by the way. He was helped out. You won't hear her in this clip, but he was helped out with a little girl that Ellen had on the show before, a little like 10-year-old or something, who is an expert on U.S. presidents. So she actually weighs in on the three-minute Hamilton. But if you want to hear a little bit of Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's freestyling this, doing the fastest Hamilton ever, it sounds a little bit something like this.
Alexander Hamilton gets to New York from the Caribbean. Terrible childhood. How did he survive it? Alexander Hamilton. Everyone says his name, and we start the show. Gets there and goes, you all have to listen to me. I'm really smart. I'm not throwing away my shot. Aaron Burr is like, guy's a lot. But his friends are like, this guy's awesome! And they all sing my shot with him.
It just goes on like that. I love that guy. He was so funny, by the way, on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you guys seen that episode yet?
Oh, not yet, no.
He's playing himself, but hopefully not really how he is. It's very funny. We talked about this earlier today, but it's worth mentioning again. If you are a super fan of the band U2, first of all, congratulations to the boys. It looks like we'll have the number one album in America with their Songs of Experience that just came out. It looks like that'll be number one on the Billboard charts this week, which is great news. You also get the opportunity to party with the band. You know, we did that listening party with them. They've become very accessible to their fans lately, which is kind of cool considering how long they've been around and how big a band they are. And now they are doing something for the Omaze site, omaze.com/U2. Bono, as you know, always looks for opportunities to raise money for his AIDS charity, Red, and they are auctioning off a round of miniature golf with Bono and The Edge. How much fun would that be?
It seems like it would be a blast.
Yeah.
You get to play mini golf with these guys. They made a very funny video, and you can tell The Edge is a little bit getting on Bono's nerves after they've been together for 40 years. But here's what that sounds like.
Being in U2 is a lot like being in a marriage.
You have to try new things to keep the relationship fresh.
Which is why Edge and I have taken up miniature golf.
Mini golf, for short.
Sure. This December, we are teaming up with Omaze and Red to give you a chance to join us for our game of mini golf.
Some people call it crazy golf.
Uh-huh. In addition,
goofy golf.
Edge and I can also provide you and your partner
Pee-wee
with
golf.
Relationship advice based on our experience trying to keep our own long-term arrangement together.
So many names for mini golf.
Even when it feels like they're pushing you.
Adventure golf.
Right.
By the way, Bono does most of the talking, but The Edge is hilarious.
He's always been.
Yep.
He's real
a very funny,
funny one.
Guy. So omaze.com/U2 if you want that. And one other big stories of the day is there had been a lot of speculation this year, maybe more than ever, as to who would be named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. I kind of get the feeling that the average person on the street doesn't care who Time Magazine recognizes as the Person of the Year. But there was a lot of attention on it this year because our president tweeted a couple of weeks ago that he had been offered the honor for the second year in a row, but that he had declined because he didn't want to sit down with the interviewer. And Time Magazine said, no, that's not the case. You weren't going to be the Person of the Year. Well, according to Time themselves, he came in at number two in their in-house voting to be the Person of the Year. So he almost was. But they made, I think, an even better choice. The Person of the Year
for Time Magazine for 2017 is a collective of men and women known as the Silence Breakers. And these are the people who were brave enough to come forward and publicly call out the men and women who have sexually harassed or abused them over the years. And, man, it has been a long time since we've seen some sort of a social movement change things as fast as the Me Too movement has changed things. With all the people that have been fired, with the Harvey Weinsteins, with the Louis C.K.'s, with the John Conyers, with all of these people who are losing their jobs as a result of it, it has a movement that has really made an impact. And more importantly, for other women out there, most predominantly women, but in some cases like Terry Crews, a man, it appears that people now are more willing to come forward because they know they are more likely to be believed because the shame is off of them now. It's not your fault if you're a victim. Say something. And I think that is a fantastic choice for Person of the Year. What do you guys think?
I do, too.
100%.
The cover features Ashley Judd, who was one of the people who spoke out against Harvey Weinstein. Rose McGowan is not on the cover, but she is interviewed in the article because she was one, as you pointed out earlier, Allie, who's been talking about this for a long, long time. And people just said, oh, she's crazy.
Yeah.
Uber engineer Susan Fowler is on the cover as well, along with some less famous women who work in non-Hollywood jobs. Taylor Swift is also on. And by the way, Taylor Swift, this is the first time she has done an interview since the trial. Remember, she countersued a disc jockey in Denver who at a meet and greet had grabbed her ass, is what she alleged. And he lost his job as a result of that. And he sued her because of that. She countersued him for $1, and she did her first interview, by the way, since that, and says that he has still not even given the ceremonial dollar to her after losing the case.
Mm. I have a lot of thoughts about her being on the cover.
Okay, go ahead.
She never used her platform that she has with so many young girls to say, this isn't right, this happens, and to speak out. She never did that. And I just feel like she has such a voice in this world, and she chose not to use it. And that bothers me. Maybe it shouldn't.
She didn't make a statement at the time, but her testimony was on the record, and she said things. For instance, the disc jockey's attorney asked her, don't you feel bad about getting my client fired? And she said, I'm not going to let you or your client make me feel in any way that it was my fault. I'm being blamed for the unfortunate events of his life that are a product of his decisions, not mine. Those kinds of statements, I think, were very powerful at the time that was going on.
10, 11, 12-year-old girls are Googling transcripts from a court? I just think she could have used her voice.
You think she could have done more?
In a huge way, and I think she should maybe think about that in the future.
Well,
I know she doesn't like wading into any sort of controversy, and I get that. And I don't know if I'm putting too much pressure on her to do that. But to me, you've got that voice. You've got that platform. I understand.
She also says, I figured that if he would be brazen enough to assault me under those risky circumstances, imagine what he might do to a vulnerable young artist if given the chance. And she goes on to talk about other people who are under the radar, not involved with celebrities, you know, housekeepers and strawberry pickers and people like that. And I just think it's a good choice for Time Magazine for Person of the Year. So that is on newsstands this weekend. All right. I think we're out of time. Celebrity birthdays. I don't have them, but I wish you all a happy birthday. I remember Judd Apatow. He's 50, so that's cool. Let's talk again about Friday before we get out of here, because we've got a big, big show lining up for Friday morning.
Friday, we're doing a live show at the Hollywood Park Casino from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's this Friday. It is our K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas kickoff party. And we're going to have tickets to both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas every hour, every single hour. And we're also asking you, by the way, we're going to have some celebrities down there. We're going to have Justin Long's going to come down and join us. Doug Benson's going to come down. Very excited about that as well.
I think Rudy Cisneros, I'm hearing, may be able to stop by.
Rudy might make a little performance, perhaps.
Oh, nice.
And we're asking people to bring down unwrapped toys as well. Foo Fighters, wow.
They're going to be there?
No. That's firefighters.
That's huge.
Nope.
You buried the lead.
Not Foo Fighters. The firefighters have a toy drive, and it's called Spark of Love. And they're going to be asking for unwrapped toys if you want to bring those down, one or more of those.
older teens seem to be neglected some because they're not cute. Sometimes I think the gifts can cost a little bit too much.
Yeah, it's rough.
But the firefighters are taking those toys that we bring down there, and they will take them and use them in Ventura or wherever people need it that have lost their homes in these unfortunate fires. So that would be very cool if you would bring those down. On your drive home today, tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, RJ Bell, because we're going to be live Friday. We're going to talk to RJ Bell about his picks for week 14 tomorrow.
Oh, he can be wrong a day early. That'll be great.
One of our favorites, Paul Scheer, will be here. We're going to talk sports with Jim Rome. We've got Dr. Drew, and again, tickets for both nights at the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and that 55-inch TCL TV. All tomorrow morning on an all-new show.